This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Hey, welcome to the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. Hey, quick disclaimer, you either are just listening through all our episodes, God bless you, or you saw Whitetail Adrenaline on this episode and said, I'm going to give that a shot. This is the pre-warning. This was a post Nebraska Deer and Game Expo podcast at the Airbnb.
Yep.
We had drank all day at the show. Mm-hmm. We drank pretty heavily at the Airbnb, and we all sat down and recorded. So this is, you might get some tips and tactics here and there, but it's very sporadic, very off track, and we tried to keep it on course at first, and then we kind of just said, well, screw it. Let's just relax, not worry about, like, facilitating the show, and kind of let it go all over. We're all slurring. We're all talking over each other. Don't have your kids in the car if you're listening to this one.
a lot of good stories. A lot of, like, hunt camp style bullshit.
That's exactly what it is.
It is.
That's exactly what it is. But it was a lot of fun.
It was a blast.
It was a blast.
And we hope that at least you just laugh a little if you don't get anything out of it. Hope you just enjoy it and kind of understand what our mindset is. And this is one of those vacation type podcast for us where it's just like we just let it ride, and what it is what it was, or whatever those kids say now. No cap is what I heard some kids say one time. So that's your pre-warning. We hope you enjoy it. We got a veteran shout out, but let's save it for a few minutes here.
Okay.
The podcast is brought to you by HHA Sports. They have a new line of stabilizers coming out, which is awesome. You can customize your whole setup. They have an adjustable one out, which is pretty awesome.
I can't believe I don't think I've ever seen that before.
I don't know if I have either. I'm pretty excited.
I can't believe no one's done that yet.
We have Scott Bach, and we'll be in studio soon to talk about that.
Yep.
And kind of see what HHA's got going on for 2021. Also, Scent Crusher. Super proud to be partners with Scent Crusher. We've been a long-time partner along with HHA. My number one guy I've talked about is the roller bag, and I'm proud of that, man.
I love it. Love the roller bag.
What's your favorite, Mr. Chandler?
That's where I'm at too. I got the roller bag. It's awesome.
Eric?
Just the regular bag.
Regular bag.
Yep.
They're all good, man.
They're all good.
The nice thing about the regular bag is it fits, you can wear it like a backpack.
Yep. That's what I love about it. You can just throw it on. It's like a backpack and carry it around.
Like if you're just like trade showing, you just throw your regular clothes in there.
It's awesome.
You don't have to worry about it.
I mean, they don't make any bad products. I use every single one.
Yeah, it's just the standout ones.
That's my go-to.
Room Clean is like always battling in there for that top spot for me as far as one of their my favorite products of theirs. Also, Loophole Optics, Thermoseat, Victory Archery, Gator Outdoors, Elite Archery, Rogue Ridge E-Bikes, and the Grind Turkey Decoys, Calls, and Accessories. Man, I'm hoping to, how cool would it be to slip in with one of the Rogue Ridge bikes and kill a bird?
Ooh,
that's getting cocky. I like that.
Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be cool.
I'm just waiting for him to come out with a tandem e-bike so you and your buddy can ride it together.
Dual motor.
That's genius.
That would be really cool. No, these things are sweet.
They have three different options. They have a 750, 1000, and they have a 750 that, I think it's a 750, that folds.
Yep. Easy storage.
I saw a funny video today, ironically, because I was in my head, I'm thinking about all the shit I'm going to try on it. Brandon Polomick, a buddy we hunted with in Oregon with Loophole, he has the folding one. He's on like a mountain bike track with like the wooden berms, and he comes in hot on the wood berm. He's got like a GoPro footage, and he slips his top wheel over the top of the berm and just eats shit on the berm. I'm like, that's awesome. He gets back up and he got up fine. It looked like a hard fall, but I got that coming because I'm going to do stuff that you shouldn't do on them.
Right.
But that's part of the fun.
Put them to the test.
We're going
to
test them out. We're really looking forward to that partnership and seeing what happens with that. Big time. Code WCB2021. I keep saying the old code 2020. You guys are going to be putting out some supplemental feed in Iowa.
Yep.
I will be.
The pallet will be here as we're recording this tomorrow.
Hmm.
So it's coming in.
So you guys plan, are you going to run trail cams, see who's shed and who hasn't and
yep.
all that?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm going to start putting it out right away.
Have you guys ever found sheds over your big time yet?
I have not, but I'm waiting for that day. That'd be cool.
That would be really sweet.
I wish we could. We need it really bad right now. We had a bad ice storm come in like 3 weeks ago, and these deer are just dropping hard. They're stressing. Yeah. They need some food right now, and Illinois just sucks.
Well, and then we got more rain on top of that ice storm with slush and more snow.
They're having a hard time getting to the food.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not as good when it comes to like getting food in their bellies, but you know, we have the food in their bellies when they need it, like right now. Mm-hmm. But we get to do the food plot blends. They have the Clover Select, the Buck Brunch. They have all sorts of different blends. They have, I mean, really about everything you want nowadays.
Yep.
So pretty awesome. Big Ten's killing it. And by the way, that code works for merch and supplemental feed and everything like that. So everything on the store. Also Old Barn Taxidermy. I should be getting my bear back quick.
Mm. I'm excited for that. Should be getting my meat from my buck, too, back here soon.
Ooh, the meat processing through Old Barn is exquisite.
They got it down already.
It's exquisite. You guys enjoying it?
Oh, yeah.
I know you guys got a bunch of pages.
Dude, the honey barbecue sticks, man.
It's amazing.
Don't pass up on them.
They're good.
They're real nice.
Real nice.
Real nice. Old Barn's the shit. I love that company. I love like it's good when the people there are just as good as like what they do.
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, if you're a waterfowl hunter, a turkey hunter, a big game hunter, a western game hunter, they do it all.
They do it all.
So they got your back. And they do predators, and they're good at predators. And not a lot of taxidermists are good at doing predators. Just a certain look in the eyes. That
right?
It's just, not a lot.
It throws you off.
Well, that's the thing with bears, you know. Sam Gaylord, the owner of Old Barn, he's like the bear guy. He's like top five guys, bear guys in the country, maybe the world for black bears, you know. And I'm just thankful that that's our guy.
Yeah.
Because I'm excited to do like that bear hunt. We're going back again to Double Diamond Outfitters in Wyoming this spring. Me and Eric are going, and I think Clint's going, and got basically 2.5 weeks of listeners going too, which is awesome. But with that bear mount, I was always worried because bear mounts kind of turn me off when I look at them. I'm always like, ugh, they don't look nearly as cool as like you see the bear on TV or see the bear in person. Mm-hmm. But Sam's mounts aren't that way. Like you go and you see them and you're like, wow, that's beautiful. It's a majestic. It doesn't look like a dog.
Right.
You know,
right.
I saw while we're on the taxidermy thing here before we dive in the episode, I thought this was funny today on Facebook. I don't know what group it was in. It's like, the question was, what is the acceptable turnaround time for a taxidermist? And, dude, the comments that photos of people are throwing in, 4 months, and it was showing, like, pictures of their deer, and, oh, my God. It's like that dude posted that photo to brag about it only taking 4 months to get his mount back, and it just looks... It's atrocious, man.
Like a mount from 1910.
Oh, dude. It's
got the staples on the back.
Oh, man. Like paper mache. It's all yellow already.
Yeah. If you're going to get them back that fast, you better be good at doing it. Like I know local guys that can do it in less than a month. I've got several deer back in less than 4 weeks. And they held up. They've been in my man cave for, I don't know, 10, 15 years, and they still look good. But, yeah if you're going to turn them around that fast, you better have your shit dialed in.
Well, I think a lot of people think for a year and a half, that's insane. Well, it's like the workload. They have clientele because they are good.
Yeah, if you're good, if you're going to have a lot of people there, you're going to have to wait a little bit.
Yeah, and that's fine. Wait. It's like a tattoo.
Right.
I mean, you're going to spend more. I have mounts that I'm talking from experience. I have mounts from a local guy here in the Quad Cities, and like they're okay. But then I get like a Mark Reif mount. I get some Old Barn taxidermy mounts next to them.
They just stand out.
And I'm like, oh, I'm an idiot. Like these all look like shit compared to these high-end mounts. So one of my biggest deer is mounted that way, and it looks terrible. And Sam and Julian at Old Barn, they're going to take it. They're going to soak the whole thing and try and remount it for me. If not, I'm going to get a new cape, and they're going to do it upright for me.
Yep.
You know, it's like I look at all these deer, and that one deer, I'm like, I'd find myself like apologizing to people coming out. I'm like, yeah, I'm getting that taken care of.
Once you get one good mount done and you put him up with all the rest of them, it's kind of like shit.
I messed up. A lot of people don't realize it until they get that one really nice mount and they get it up on the wall.
It's kind of comical. It's like a bad tattoo. Like Chandler,
it's like an eight ball.
It's like your eight ball tattoo. Like, it's so bad that it becomes like comedy, and then it's awesome.
It's like you almost want to leave
it. You can't get rid of it. You can't cover it up.
Right. I
mean, it's so bad, it's good.
Right. But you get a really awesome eight ball tattoo next to that one, then you're like, ooh, oh, man. Ooh. Tough gig.
Maybe I'll do a really good one on the other arm.
There you go. Just get the cue.
Yeah, just a circle.
You should get them all in the eight ball in the middle, you know, with the triangle.
The shitty eight ball in the center.
All the rest of them look like an actual all fucking nice, nice ball.
Shine on.
I got to start working out. I got to build the guns up.
Yeah. You play nine ball, maybe.
Yeah.
It's like, who's breaking? Austin's like, I mean, me.
Fucked up.
Is that gay?
This queer. All right. Moving on to more serious things. Do you have a veteran shout out, Doug?
I do. This veteran shout out is brought to you by HHA USA, United Service Members in Archery.
HHAUSA.org.
.org if you want to check them out. They got schedules up hopefully here soon for 2021.
It is up. Let me.
I didn't.
I thought it was up. Let me see.
When I checked, it was 2020.
Oh, this is 2021.
There it is.
They're coming up. Well, hell, May 15th and 16th. Tomaha Sportsman Alliance warns Wisconsin. They're all Wisconsin. We will probably be at the ones, I would imagine, August 7th and 8th. They have one August 21st and 22nd, Blackhawk Archers in Custer, Wisconsin. We'll probably make one of those later summer ones, I would imagine. We'll lock that down and let you guys know. But 3D, novelty shoots, two-man scrambles, silent auctions, all for a good cause. If you are interested, workingclassbowhunter.com/veteran shoutout has all the information there.
You're good. This veteran shout-out was submitted by Randy Moulton, and the veteran is Jonathan... God, I don't want to mess his name up. Caruso.
There you go.
He was in the Marines. It says Jonathan retired last year as a master sergeant from the U.S. Marines. After serving this country for 22 years, he's now spending his time forging knives. Oh, and also says with the title of Forge and Fire Champion, which is pretty badass.
Yeah, I remember that episode.
Is that like the show?
Yeah.
Great show. No kidding.
Yeah, like
that's impressive.
Yeah, that's crazy. Says he is an awesome husband, an even better father, and a great friend. He shares his passion for hunting and the outdoors with anyone that will listen. Thank you, Jonathan. Proud to call you brother. And I like this. For hunting and archery experiences, it just says, killer, loves archery.
That's all you need to know.
He's a killer and he loves archery.
What else is there to say, you know?
Right. That's awesome.
So thank you for your service, Jonathan. And
thanks, Jonathan.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Thank you, sir.
Forge and Fire Champion.
That's cool.
We need to check this guy out.
So we were talking about this veteran shout-out before we started the episode, and I thought that was – you said Forge and Fire, and you're like, dang, that's cool. And I thought – because I'm like working on the side while you guys were talking about the veteran shout-out. I thought that was like some sort of military thing I never heard of.
No,
it's a TV show on the History
Channel. Wow, that's cool.
That's cool.
Very cool.
Awesome. Well, thanks for your service, Jonathan. If you guys would like to submit a veteran shout-out, workingclassbowhunter.com/veteran shout-out. Quick, while we're on
low,
the while we're on the topic, get them in there. Submit them. We'll get to them all.
Come on now.
So this is something cool. I haven't talked about it on the podcast, but I made some social media posts. If you're a veteran or know a veteran, you're going to want to listen up. Hunt giveaway in Kansas provided by Dirtnap Outdoors LLC. They are they're Kansas whitetail and turkey specialists. They reached out to us and were like, hey, we want to give a hunt away to a veteran and can you help us out with it? It's like
100%.
Yeah, cool. So we made a website page on our website, workingclassbowhunter.com/veteran hunt giveaway. So you go through, it's got all the information, the map on where they're at in Kansas. I'll give the quick details. Five-day hunt, November 7th to 12th or 14th through the 19th of 2021. Those are their prime dates. Meals and lodging will be provided. They're in Unit 14. It's a draw state, but they have 100% success on archery as far as like drawing your tag. They'll pick a winner before April 1st. You got to put in for the draw between the 1st and 9th through April, so they'll get a hold of you. Ladder stands, double bull blinds, hunt accommodations for handicap or wounded warriors. There's no trophy fee or penalty for shooting a small deer. If you're excited, then they're excited. They do everything possible to get you on a giant if that's what you're looking for. But you pretty much go here. There's no catch. Fill out your information and hit submit, and that goes all to us. And when we're ready to pick a winner, we will pick a winner. That's really all that's to it. So if you're a veteran, if you know a veteran, tell them about this. Go get the link, share it on Facebook, share it with them. Spread the word. It's pretty cool. They even offered that up,
right?
Just out of the goodness of their hearts. And we're glad to just help, you know.
Yeah, it's cool. Very cool.
That's badass. Also, talking about shoots and hunts and all that, June 12th, 2021 in Ryo or Galesburg, Illinois is the 2021 Working Class Bowhunter Shoot. It is scheduled. It is happening, rain or shine. It is happening. So if the weather is bad and it's raining, don't message us and say, hey, is it still on? Yes, it's still on.
We will be there.
Bring your poncho.
It's on. Bring it. Come on. It rained and COVID happened last year.
Yeah, we're going through it in the rain.
Big Time is title sponsoring it. It's Galesburg Archery Club, Ryo, Illinois. It's a 30-target 3D course. I have on the website, workingclassbowhunter.com/shoot, S-H-E-W-T, 2021. By the way, we know we spelled it wrong.
Yeah, that's not an accident.
I had some people say, you know, they spelled it wrong to another guy, like talking shit. I'm like, glad you're here, man.
We're a bunch of redneck hillbillies, but we know that it's spelled
wrong. Thanks, Captain Obvious.
Yeah, thanks for being down to earth.
That's from the old T-Bone skit, wasn't it?
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
The shoot.
So, and then there's also an after party at Jigs's Tavern in Alexis, Illinois, which is a little town about 10 minutes west.
It's probably going to get drunk out.
Yep, that starts at seven. It's going to get drunk out. There is going to be meet and greets with Clint Casper, Johnny Utah, Billy C, and Emily Shad. That's who we got so far.
And us.
We'll be there. We're going to do gear giveaways from Scent Crusher, Big Time, HHA, Elite, Gator Outdoors, Old Barn, Victory Archery, Thermoseat, all the goodies, all our partners. If you would like to sponsor it, hit us up. All you got to do is just provide us something to give away, and you're a sponsor. It's that easy. There's no catch. Anyway, that's all the business here. Enjoy the podcast. Thanks for being here. We love you. Okay, we are in Lincoln, Nebraska. The first trade show we've experienced since COVID-19.
Since Iowa Deer Classic last year.
Yeah, so good turnout so far at the show. Yep. Just finished day two. We are at an Airbnb in Lincoln, and we're here with, well, Doug, Eric, Lord Chandler's in here, and we're here with two special guests, Chancey and Jared.
He's more special than I am.
Yeah.
COVID-19, it's 21 now.
21. It's been a while since we had Whitetail Adrenaline on the podcast. When you killed your big typical was the last time you were on.
Yeah.
But this is the first time in person.
Hey, this ornery SOB right here.
I just knew you boys were rascals, and it's good to be here. I mean, you guys put on an amazing podcast, and it's good.
Thanks, man.
Awesome.
Thanks, man.
They're serious. They got gadgets all over. Hey. I keep track of this flim flam.
We try, man. We try, but.
There's about 100 yards of wire running through here.
Right? That's the only thing I hate about it. Like, it's the mobile setup, so you just throw it up and call it good, but it works, right? It's better than sitting around just.
But at the same time, it's like, shit, it's 2021. Why don't we have wireless shit at this point?
Yeah. We don't got the budget for that.
No. Hell no.
But no, man, it's
you don't want to go wireless. You get all that RF interference.
Yeah, there you go. You that's know? Bad with the phones in the studio.
I deal with that for 100 days of the year. I don't need to make a one-on-one. You know?
Well, it's cool to actually like be in person and bullshit like we've mapped it out. It's yeah. a perfect show for it, like yep. getting back into everything yep. in the year. So appreciate you guys meeting up with us, and or I guess we met yeah. up with you here.
Inviting us to your Airbnb.
Yeah. yeah. It's kind of funny, like we learned
got
along the way.
King coming in a minute,
so, right? Well, we learned yeah. that Chansey and Chandler have like a mutual
yeah,
friend.
We've got mutual buddies. It's crazy.
Yeah,
true magnum of the trade, Alaska Herd Bull, Kerry Owens.
Oh, Kerry Owens.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever met him, but it's kind of crazy.
You need to introduce yeah. I mean, because this is somebody everybody's got to meet. I mean, I'm telling you,
he's an
deal.
Interesting cat.
Yeah, yeah.
We just called him on the phone, and he just sounds like a pure good old boy.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
No shit.
Yeah,
he's an Illinois
he's
boy.
Floating down the river.
Yeah, he's like I'm just sitting here
with a cramp. Yeah, go ahead.
Catching catfish on the river.
Yeah, cranberry and Coke yeah. and rolling sushi on the boat, dude. I'm telling you, that's what he's doing.
That's awesome, man.
Guy's a legend.
Okay, well, I got to meet him yeah. then. Well, it's just kind of funny that it worked out that way. So I imagine we'll meet up down the road and record
Absolutely.
Probably at Lord Chandler's place sooner or later. But no, we call him the Lord. But so we had Chandler sit on. Of course, he's a part of this. But Chandler just picked up a longbow and is like dabbling in the traditional game. And we got the king. You got the king typical with traditional equipment.
Well, not traditional, but long, true
longbow.
Longbow. Yeah, according to Gordon Wynn, and not do. It's a few years ago. I don't keep up with the stats. I don't.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. I tell you, it was a pretty cool moment. That deer has. It's got to be one of the biggest typicals ever taken with a longbow.
It's got
on
right.
public ground.
Right, right.
I mean, look it up. I mean, I ain't seen one.
Mel Johnson has
it's
for
cool.
sure the record with trad gear.
Yeah, yeah.
Mel Johnson, he had that for, and that's a pretty cool story, 5 yards.
Right.
He shot that on a fence line. And that's, we talked to people about that today, you know, ground hunting whitetails. That was a lot bigger 40, 50 years ago.
Of course, mm-hmm. right.
And then the compound came along and guys were like, oh, I can be more accurate with this, but right. you're buying, you know, you got time.
Yep.
It takes more time to
anchor,
draw
set
back,
up,
settle in. So then I think in my own evaluation looking on it, I'm like, that's what really drove, and I could be wrong, but
yeah,
that,
yeah.
I think that drove tree stand hunting.
I would,
oh yeah,
I would
you
agree
know,
with
people
that,
were
yeah.
like, okay, I can be more accurate, but I need to be more concealed and buy myself a little bit of time.
Yeah, the shot
and
delay
then
is greater.
About, I mean, 10 years ago, you know, I've been doing these shows for 12 years. Well, people would look at the TV screen and they'd be like, well, you can't hunt whitetails like that in this state. And I'm not going to get in an argument and try to tell you
right,
that
right. Yeah.
you know you're wrong because I haven't hunted whitetails in a lot of those states either.
Right.
But it's kind of funny because over the course of time, I got to be buddies with like Steve Roth and John
oh,
Adams.
Yeah. Cool
and
dude,
now
yeah.
Tanner, he's from Pennsylvania.
Armory.
You know, a lot of those guys in Pennsylvania at the show. That's a big show. A lot of people come through. They'd look at the TV. You could never do that here. And I knew in my head, I was like, okay, I've
it's
never hunted
like
deer and white in Pennsylvania.
Bit, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Yeah, yeah, it's fine.
Maybe
it's
you
fine.
Can.
I mean,
maybe.
People, it's human nature. I mean, yeah. people, you know, and it was funny. I was like, well, I'm not going to get into an argument with somebody I don't know. I'll
right.
get into an
right.
argument with somebody I know. That's not hard for me to do if I'm comfortable.
Right.
You know, because we'll, whatever, get in an argument and laugh about it and drink a beer or whatever.
Right.
Everything's fine. It'll buff out.
Shit'll buff out.
But then I, you know, it's like I got to know Steve. All of a sudden, Steve, probably 6 years ago, he started hunting on the ground, started killing big bucks on the ground in Pennsylvania. And I just chuckled in the back of my head, remembering all the people in Pennsylvania
yeah, right.
would come and look at the TV and be like, "You can't do that here." And then John killed him, and then Tanner, he's a Western PA guy, farm boy.
Yeah.
And we were having a discussion. He did a lot of hunting with us last fall. We were hunting, you know. Plains, and he started hunting plain stuff about 2-3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I'm going to tell you right now, these deer are sharper than the deer in PA. And I started to think about it a little bit, and it's like, they're sharper. Those deer in those high-pressure states, like PA is a pretty high-pressure
yeah,
state,
right,
like
yeah.
Wisconsin, where I grew up, in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Those deer, they're still sharp, but they are so pressured on a lot of the private, too.
Yeah, yeah. They're getting
you
pressure
know, like
everywhere.
These deer in a lot of these Western states, they get very pressured on public. They just move off it. Those
mm-hmm.
deer, they're bumping around constantly.
Mm-hmm.
So they're actually acclimated. So
right,
they're,
right.
It's not that they're not necessarily sharper. They're just more tolerant.
Their baseline of human pressure is at a different level than it would
different.
Be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
so sense. They'll deal with it. I mean, you've heard Dan Infault. He'll find quite a few big bucks from my understanding pretty close to the roads, and well, you killed that big
overlooked
one 2
areas,
years ago.
I mean, he lived
that
the road
damn thing
like
was
like
living
a,
right next. I mean, compound range of the road. that 175 that you were, and he was as comfortable as any.
He was living there like a rooster pheasant in the ditch.
How long did it take you to find that deer? Like, did you overlook him and then realize, oh shit, he's right
there?
Well,
it was, yeah, it was one of those deals. We're just driving by, and all of a sudden, you know, we're first day, me and Matty Z, you know, I mean, Matty Z is probably one of the most amazing cameramen of all time.
Yeah.
He's unbelievable. He filmed all the Shockey
stuff. Jared, you're talking about him today. Talking about
he's done all that. All the what's the series that Shockey
does? He's the most humble badass I've ever met in my life.
The best, dude. He is.
Like, I mean, this guy is ornery as hell.
Was that the guy with the boots?
And what's that?
With the boots?
With the boots. Go to Russia, forgets his insulated boots, goes in 20, 30 below for 30 days or whatever the hell it was without
running through the swamp. Jeez.
And you'll never hear him bitch.
Yeah.
I mean, Matty Z is
a bad motherfucker.
You know,
bad,
and he's not a guy that goes to the weight room and all that, but he's a guy like, you need him to go 20 miles, you need him to trudge through some shit.
He don't even question.
He's like in pain. It's kind of a funny story. He lives in Denver. Well, he married one of my best friends in high school's sister, and we're states apart. And small world.
Small
my
world.
My good
yeah.
buddy kept telling me about his brother-in-law that
how he's a badass.
Filmed
and
this guy's really cool. And, and all of a sudden, I connected to John, and all of a sudden, I connected the dots. Oh, that's
John Adams. Yeah,
He's
a hurt bull too.
I was like, I was like,
being hurt by your satellite.
Your satellite.
Hurt by your satellite.
John's an ornery bastard too, and he's been killing some good deer.
Dude, he looks
PA.
Like the on the movie off on of, the ground the movie. 300
Yeah.
Dude, he's a gladiator. A dude, he's got like a 20 pack.
Oh, he's a Spartan over there, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Just fighting lions in the arena. Yeah.
He's silent but violent. He's silent but violent.
Silent but violent.
Yeah.
Silent but violent. He's like that. He's like that. He's got the perfect. He's like that Greek. The way Logan
that's
described
what I told
the
you,
Greek.
Yeah.
He's a guy.
Yeah. He's a Greek. He's a Greek. But
so let's talk about that buck that you're overlooking a little bit. I just want to touch on that. That was an interesting topic. That
was a pretty cool deal because so Matty showed up. He was, I don't know, where you guys, where were you guys at when you sent him my way and fixed the van and all the stuff?
I was in Dakota.
Yeah, Dakota. So Jared sent him to get here. I kind of wanted to get an early start. I wanted to try to get something killed by November.
Fix the van.
You know, I think, yeah. Put a new starter in it. What's neat? We need something to start, right? So he put a new starter in that sucker. I mean, he's a mechanic.
Hey, I actually talked some shit on some cold fronts during that. That's a whole other topic.
Yeah, well, we need to get into that. Okay.
We do need to get into that.
This could be a four-hour podcast.
It might be a banger.
Whatever. I mean, so.
And we're here, right?
Here's the deal. Yeah, I mean, when are we going? I mean, this worked out good. We got to meet. But I'll tell you what's crazy. He gets there. I said, all right, don't be stressing out. Just roll in mid-morning, you know, and we can get ready and kind of do a midday and just glass and just get the feel of things.
Get
you know,
a game
bebop
plan.
Around.
What, get a game plan.
Get
going.
A game plan.
Take
and
it all in.
Get the vibe. I mean, what's shaking out
what's
here?
Going
I mean, it's October, I think it was 26th or something weird. You know,
to get
right
up.
In there. Yeah, get tuned. Get, you know, get in the zone. Get used to, you know, what's shaking. So we're cruising around and got around about 2 hours before dark. And
you guys weren't seeing much.
No, not seeing much.
You took the butt out, did some
dude, I'm looking. I'm looking, you know, out in the depth of the jungle in the public, and all of a sudden, boom, here's one almost, just right
you
off the fence
line. You guys
were
driving down the road.
Yeah, he was just,
I edited it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we were driving down the road.
You're like, you're complaining about, you know, you did some rattle sets, nothing came in. You took the boat in, did a bunch of stuff like that. Then you're like, all right, let's get in the vehicle and jump out. It was funny because I wasn't there for it.
Well, it's like you pulling a boat with a minivan?
No, we don't have a hitch.
Oh, no, we didn't have the van. No, we ended up taking my truck.
But the van was there ready for
him
to go, but I didn't have a hitch to pull the boat.
Yeah, so
you're talking about a boat and then a minivan. I'm like, are you guys pulling a boat with a minivan?
Oh, correct.
That'd be dope as shit.
We were going to do the van. I said, let's leave the van. We'll save that for Kansas. Let's hook up a real rig to pull the boat. We weren't going to pull the – you know what I mean?
You would have if it had a hitch.
If it had a hitch, we would have took the van. But I don't have a hitch. We're not going to go buy a hitch. So we hooked up the truck. You're right. Took the truck and we're driving and I literally.
If you need one made, let me know.
Pick up
trucks. I can weld one out for you.
I'll tell you right now. Pickup trucks on gravel roads don't have a clue on a minivan. A minivan will destroy.
No,
them
so
you've been rocking.
You ain't got a chance.
The weight
catching
the
guy.
How long have you been
rocking?
How long
what
have you been
rocking?
I got 4-wheel drives too and. Yeah, and everything, but right?
Yeah, no, you're right. But a van, when it goes down the gravel road, the suspension goes like this, and the van stays right where it's at.
It floats.
It floats. The guy wants to bebop.
You got a van?
No, I'm going
to
get one.
Hurt bully you to mini vet.
You need
good luck, dude.
Yeah.
I'm going to destroy.
same concept as those dune jumpers. You know, it just stays in one spot.
Right.
It
is. Oh, yeah. The tires are doing this.
They're built
this.
For kids.
They're safe.
They are. You know? It's like Pedialyte. Yeah.
This is all over. I love it.
Pedialyte. Yeah.
Just like Pedialyte. I want to get back to talking about this buck.
Okay. So I look over, and boom, this is probably a couple hours before dark, and I look over, and there's, oh, there's what we want. That's the flavor you need. And he's just looking at me 20 yards off the ditch, off the road ditch.
Got, if the window was down, you would have jumped out of the vehicle.
It was. There's what we're looking for. You know, and you get all giddy, get that feeling. We just kept driving, and I went up on the hill, and I know this dance floor. I've seen deer here. Never seen a real big one there. But I go up on top, and I knew right. You know, Matt's just like, okay.
That
you
was
know,
all new public. Yeah. It came in a few years
Jared,
ago.
Jared, pull that closer to your mouth there. You're good.
And we get up in there, and we get up on this fence line. I said, just stop. We're going to run out here, and I want to see where he's gonna, what he's going to do and make sure I make the right move. And I got up on this high spot, and I get up there, and I can't see him. I climbed up a little cedar tree and got up in there peacocking around looking. And all of a sudden, you know, he's nowhere to see. I don't see shit. I see a little puke buck going through there. I'm like, where'd he go?
Dude,
I'm like, did he lay down?
Where do you come up with this shit?
I don't know.
Dude.
I
love this. This is lingo, dude.
See, we're trying to adjust to like, this is so entertaining that I'm trying to not interrupt your story because there's all these terms
but it's so
that haven't years
got
puke.
I do got to take a break. The first year I put Chansey on the videos, some people were like, I don't know, I don't really like that because I thought he was doing a bunch of one-liners or something. This is what this
That's
is guy's lingo.
Is.
That's how he is. They come to shows, they meet him, he talks
like,
to them.
Like, is this Will Ferrell sitting over here?
Pretty much. Different version.
I love it. We just got to get used to it. It's amazing.
Brother from a different mother.
This is an after-hours podcast.
It's hilarious.
Yeah.
So I get up there, and I'm looking up in that cedar tree. Sort of peacocking, looking around. So I'm up there, and I don't see this dang deer, and I'm trying to get an eyeball to make a move. You know, am I going to go keep driving by? I'm like, I don't know if I drive back by, he might run. You know how deer are.
Yeah.
You start giving them too much love, they want to run, right?
Right, right.
So, you know, never stop. You know, if you're a good one, keep moving that vehicle, right?
I mean, that's
you
don't one touch
key.
You
never
brakes.
Stop.
You don't
you might get way
brakes.
Off and stop and then look way at a distance and look into the where he's at.
Thank you, sir.
And I couldn't find him. I'm like, maybe he bedded down. Maybe he bedded down, you know. And anyway.
I mean, this is a 175-inch,
just a beautiful,
you know, 4 or 5-year-old buck. I mean,
no puke buck.
That's different than a 2-year-old, 3-year-old.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. These deer are sharp.
Tolerance is a lot less for shit like that.
Yeah, so. I mean, yeah, no, I mean, we're serious. This don't happen. I know public,
right?
And I don't see him like that very often around there. And let's take advantage of the situation. And he had a couple satellite bucks there. I mean, he just got this doe. He's going to be in this little neighborhood if she's living in that area. We get up there and couldn't get a visual. So I it was crazy. I come back down, seen him, parked over the hill, and got up. And we got him in the hay bales. But it was one of those deals where I felt deep down that I thought he just got the doe within that day or two.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we got a little time to work with him, but I was still nervous. I didn't want him we don't want to go after him. But he had enough satellite bucks that would stay downwind of him and of the situation with him and the doe that I didn't want to get rammy and blow one of them out, and then it's over. Then he takes her across the road or something. So I got him this little nipple. Working him.
He's comfortable in that little nipple.
Right. He was so
He's comfortable in that little nipple. So
God let me see that deer because every vehicle I drive by that son of a bitch would get down and bebop and put his head down and never let anybody see him. I mean, we watched tons of vehicles
and
drive
he was
by.
Totally like he lived there. Like when you watch that video, you're like, he was this deer. He got high off of like I'm duping people almost. Right. It had that feel to it.
You
like
know
he's
that deer,
just so comfortable. Vehicle coming. It was in his subconscious. Like when I watched that video, because I heard all about it, and it was funny to watch these vehicles drive by. You told me about it, but then when I watched the footage, I was like,
"I was on
this
TV
deer is dropping his head down."
Yeah, that's awesome.
When vehicles are coming, and you don't even sense that he has a conscious like, "Oh, there's a vehicle coming. I got to do this." He was doing it just like
it's part of his routine.
I'm gonna rake my. Not gonna make a scrape
here. He heard that vehicle down the gravel, and he knew right away. Hey, there's a car coming. I'm ducking.
He did. I guess it was
all subconscious.
Yeah. He's so content in that area that he knew exactly when a vehicle was coming.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. That's awesome.
Right. Yeah. Them deer that live by the roads and they know that traffic and you know, especially in that little area. I mean, he knew. He just sensed it. I mean, they're smarter than you think. Obviously, we've all been screwed by big bucks. I mean, I'm sick of it.
Well, even think like you said earlier, talking about the noise.
I'm
like
sick of it too.
You start to slow down. you know, tires on gravel starting to slow down sound different than if you were cruising by consistently.
It's
they
not
know
just
all that.
Visual, it's sound too. We had a situation not that long ago. We're going to get back to your story. You got to wrap.
No.
You got to get that going. But we had a situation. We had a big buck, 40 yards laying. I don't know what the hell this deer was doing. It was late season. He had no doe. Big mature bastard.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm guessing probably 6-7 year old plus deer.
Right, right.
Old. I don't know what the hell he was doing bedded there.
He was tired.
40, 50 yards off the road. And I was like, me and Matty Z, we had a little deer hauler on the back of the burb. We jumped on the back of the burb a mile and a half out, rode it. And I told Tanner, who was running the wheel, I said, you know, we were about a half mile where they were going to drop us. And I knew if we stopped that vehicle at a half mile, he'd freak out. We needed him to cross the road. We couldn't hunt that. You know, it's private.
Okay.
So I was like, just keep your foot steady on that throttle. Don't let that engine noise change.
Yeah.
Exactly what you were just saying. It's not just visual. It's also that sound.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, you listen to cars. I mean, if you ever hunt near, sitting in a stand or whatever near a gravel road, you can hear, like I always listen. It's like, oh, here comes a car. And then you hear it, and you hear the sound. Well, if it stops, you're like, you can tell. And, you know,
like,
those deer live
doing?
There. Yeah. So.
Well, and them deer probably know exactly, too. Like, if that vehicle passes every day, they know what vehicle that is, too.
I bet you they do to
a
point.
Oh, dude, they
totally do. You know, like if your minivan coming down the gravel road, they're like, that's a new vehicle.
No,
I've heard that one.
That's a minivan.
We might be overthinking it, but I'm telling you, they do. I mean,
I'm going to tell you right now, if you're out in the plain states,
they know.
And I ain't done it yet, but you want a white vehicle. Because most of the vehicles, the ranchers and stuff, you know, the guys that run around, they
get
white
some magnets on the side that say electrical company or
white.
Something.
Right, yeah.
Those deer,
certified contractor.
Deer totally know those vehicles. Like,
put a couple,
that guy I can deal with.
They just got a big old bug. Yeah. And
put a couple of red cones out.
There's old Carl going to work.
So you put this game plan together.
Well, we were talking about vehicles. I want to tell you, it was pretty funny, man. I was sitting there when I was in position to try to kill that deer later on, but it was funny. These vehicles kept, like, going up there, and I'm like, a couple of them stopped. And I'm like, stressed out. I'm like, they see him. Oh my God! And they drive off. Well, there was a tree blocking the stop sign. They were stopping in the stop sign. I was like, why are they?
It's in the video.
Well, I told Matt. I said, I don't know why they're stopping. They're seeing him, and then I'm like, he's like, there's a stop sign there. Like, oh my God! I looked to the left. There's a stop sign. So that's
funny. And that's when you're like, well, there have been like 100 vehicles come up this road today. None of them stopped.
None of them seen him. We seen hunters camoed up. You know, looking. It's like, oh my God, this is stressing me out. They seem they're going to stop, look, and blow him out, and it's over, right?
But you did the right thing. You set up in a way that if that happened, you felt like they.
Yeah. If he would,
you were set up.
If he would jump, he would go towards
come into that little slither spot.
But here's the thing with that too: is I think it takes someone with experience to see a situation like that and be so, I guess, clear headed about how to get around it, just in case this happened, because an inexperienced hunter would do something too pushy. You see social media, it's like, got to get aggressive and do the work, and then bump it out and ruin it before you even put yourself in to get an
opportunity.
Passive
aggressive.
Well, you guys' style is just so different from what other people are doing. Like, typically, we're talking about a lot of in-timber tactics where a lot of this is, like, road-based. I mean, the style that you guys have is just so
unique.
Totally different than what other people are doing. It's cool.
Right.
I mean, I'm learning all this, like, just listening to this for the first time. There's a lot to take in.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Very cool.
And we're all over the place. It's fun, but it's there's so much, and the human pressure on whitetails is such an interesting topic, but it's crazy because everybody talks about it. Podcasts talk about it. Shows talk about it. You see it in all this, but then you got people that consume all this content and go out and ignore it.
Yep.
I feel that way anyway.
Dude,
we just did a whole podcast with like Mark Jury about human pressure, and everybody just is like, oh, yeah, it'll be fine.
Guess
is
we'll just
the number
roll
one thing
four-wheeler
that fucks
in
hunters.
And check,
like, they throw it out the window and just
check cards on the four-wheeler.
Yeah, check cards on the four-wheeler and walking out to the stands like, yo, motherfucker, I think it'll be fine in your head ruins you for a lot of deer. Yeah. It'll be fine.
It'll be all right.
And then you go out, it's like, well, no, it's not fine. Because big deer don't mess
don't,
with it. It'll
they
be
don't
fine.
Play that game.
Hey, I've
there's,
been on.
There's
big...
certain details that you can, in my opinion, not worry about. Like, I get caught up in details like too far.
Okay.
And like, then there's details you can let go.
Yeah.
And you're really
I mean,
good
I've been
at
enough,
like, okay, this we need to worry about, that we don't
like,
need
what would
around,
be
you know?
One of your worries, I mean, both you guys, that you maybe take it too far when you might not need to when it comes to precautions, I guess.
Like noise.
Noise.
Like, I'm real, like, yeah. Shh. It's like you're awesome.
Man. I'm a movement
this guy,
man.
Like, this guy, I love working with Chancey's audio when he's in the battle, because this guy, he'll talk loud, so audio is easy when I'm editing video.
Right.
I'm like, this guy, I need to start talking louder. Like, and I'm like, I ain't never busted damn deer talking in my life. I'm too quiet.
You think a deer knows what a human sounds like? Nobody's ever talked to a deer out there except for a tame one in a pen. I mean, we ain't, you know what I mean?
Did you remember a few years ago in the video?
He's out there having a conversation with the deer.
No, well, you need to.
That's a male. I heard him talk.
Yeah.
No, hey,
that's
had,
a herd bull right there.
I've had fawns.
That's a herd bull over there.
Does and stuff come up. They bust you. You start like, ooh, doo-doo. You start. Like non-aggressive type sounds, they're like, "What the hell?" And we did that in that video. She started talking. I think Shay started doing that. Shay started talking
pig Latin over here,
and they are like, they get all comfortable. It's like it's non-aggressive.
I've never heard that.
Dude, it's weird.
You got to serenade them a little bit.
And then he started talking all like,
and then
Shay's
over here like, "Hey, I'm in your dance floor right now, bud."
Well, yeah, I mean, I like to talk to him. I mean, I know you get in that spot, like, yeah, this going on. Yeah, you get up in here. You start talking to him. I get a little vocal, but I don't know. I'm not trying to, but I like this. I like to tease him in there, you know, talk to him in my
this
mind.
This guy's the most vocal.
But I've been on enough big buck pumped in my life. I've been screwed by so many big bucks. I get sick of stupid shit happening to
me.
And I almost overthink it. I just feel like things are happening because it's just me, but that's just part of life and that's just
whitetail hunting.
But I'm like, oh my God, that guy, like, here comes a vehicle, right? And I'm wanting to kill a big buck, you know? Dude. Like, what's the odds of this shit? Like,
right.
I'm sick of it, okay?
Right.
Where's the cameras at? Who's punking me?
Yeah.
Okay?
Where's that Ashley Kutcher at?
It ain't 30 days ago. In December, late season, I had that thing. I had that big one I told you about out in some cut corn, and I was trying to figure out how to shoot out my belly. I had to wait 2 days, no wind. I didn't have enough wind to sneak up close enough. He'd hear me coming.
Yeah.
And he was living out in this cut corn, and I screwed up the one day. I had wind. I went out there, and I went through the thing. There's probably a 300-400 acre corn, cut corn.
Mm-hmm.
And it was open cut corn, so there was no, like, grass or weeds.
Wide open.
Yeah, you ain't hiding.
Wide open.
I knew he was
out there somewhere. And I could not find his ass. And about an hour before dark, all of a sudden he popped up. And I was like, you know, it's a little tiny dip he was in. You couldn't see from the aerial looking at a topo.
Yeah.
You couldn't see it. And he popped up, and I was like, you dirtball.
He probably walked right by me.
I was like, if I'd have known you were there 4 hours ago, you'd have been in a bad place.
Well, you walked by.
But you're going to be there. I know you're not going nowhere. I could tell. He was kind of run down from rut or whatever.
Yeah.
And I looked at the weather, and I'm like, I ain't going to get wind for 2 days. I'm going to have to sit here and watch him. I'll watch some other option deer potentially for 2 days.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which it wasn't just him. I found a little pocket mature deer. I mean, we're talking –
the honey hole.
5 to 8 year old deer.
No kidding.
The honey hole.
They ain't 2-3 year olds. You want to?
Uh oh. We're in an area that this could be real.
You're talking.
Folks.
Car alarm. This could. You want to kill 2-3 year olds? Get the key and hit.
We're good.
Thing.
We got a car alarm going off. We're getting robbed.
You want to kill 2-3 year olds on public land? You know, it's gotten to where those deer. That's a whole different game.
Yeah.
Those deer. It's.
Yeah,
you know, you don't always get them if you're
comfy, man.
You know, I mean, it depends.
What am I doing?
We change our, you know, like shoes. If I'm hunting Nebraska public land, I'm going to shoot the first good 2-year-old or Wisconsin. I'm going to shoot the first 2-year-old. Those are different deer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they start to hit that 4-5 year old and things like we were talking about earlier of like, oh, the wind switch. They are going to rebed 30, 40, 50 yards to accommodate that wind.
To have it's the win like, in their favor.
They don't even consciously realize what the hell they're doing. They just do
natural.
It.
That's natural. 2-3 year olds. Instincts herd bull. That's what they do. You guys seeing
2-3 year old whitetail don't do that.
Yep.
They just don't. It's not in them yet.
It's not as calculated like subconsciously
exactly.
in their.
So this little pocket I found, it was just a little covey of big bucks, and they were, for the most part, residing on this private that...
A little cubby.
You know, they just...
A little harem.
That's one of his verbiages that carried over to me. And
a cubby.
So... I picked
Covey
that up.
A partridge.
So I want to go back because I think the last time we recorded, we're jumping around, but that's fine. Yeah. Your giant typical we talked about in the beginning, and you were along for the ride. Chance, you were in on the whole mix, which is what an incredible thing to be a part of, right?
Yeah.
Do you feel before? Have you named that deer just a giant typical or whatever? What do you call it?
We never named that deer. We made a joke.
It doesn't need it.
Video, we started talking about how people name deer. Remember that?
Not wrong with that.
I edited the video. I come across this cut. It's like 3-4 days in, and we were kind of like bored. You know, like we covered ground using vehicles in this open country. You have to. You have to eliminate acreage. You know, we talked about that. That's the number one thing with hunting public land. You have to have a method to eliminate acreage. And so in the plains, in the open country, you do it with a vehicle. In the wooded stuff, you got to go off your gut a little bit more. Okay, it looks like there's been a lot of vehicle traffic here, whatever. And then you just got to go in there and try to get your visual from there. In the open country, a lot of times you stay in the vehicle. Not always, but there are certain cases where you don't do that. But I didn't even, you know, when you're filming unscripted raw, you don't realize the content or what this guy said or anything.
You're talking about the edit. And I come across
this clip where we were just bored as hell and we were talking about naming deer, you know.
It can get tacky real quick.
Which we ain't never ran trail cameras in all the years of doing this. We just get aggressive and...
Nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it.
Our buddy Logan, he sells trail cameras. He runs trail cameras, whatever. Yeah.
But it doesn't match up with your style.
The reason I don't like it is it takes the whole mystery out of, like, when I grew up, you dreamed about what could be.
We talk about that a lot. That's a thing. You know? The mystery of the giant, the legend of the giant buck.
You're looking at that.
It's been lost. In recent years, that's been lost, that whole mystery of what could come through. Because you know every damn deer.
But the trail cams are what brought the names for deer. And then trail cams, we talked about this with Mark, it's what brought the ownership of deer between different landowners and public ground and shit.
Exactly. Well, you got to look at different styles. I mean, 80-90% of guys whitetail hunting have their 160 or 80 or whatever that's theirs or they have permission on.
Yeah.
They put their camera on it. They take inventory. It makes sense there. With what you guys are doing, I mean, you guys are covering – hundreds of miles, it doesn't make sense for what you guys are doing.
Yeah, you start falling in love, you're going to be hunting a deer that's a mile away on a private.
I've talked about this for years, getting emotionally attached.
Don't need a broken heart over
deer,
there.
Deer, sign, rubs, scrapes.
Yep.
Right. You know, I grew up, I remember I had this little beagle.
I love this,
right,
dude.
So I grew up hunting this public lands giant swamp, Elk Mound Swamp. That's where I grew up. Right next to it. My grandpa, he had a house and a little farm right next to the Elk Mound Swamp, and I'd take that beagle. He had three legs. All right?
I'd take Duke, old Duke.
Me and Duke would walk through that swamp, and I'd pre-scut all three-legged these rubs. And
three-legged like, beagle.
Was, I love
you
it.
Know, dude, it's a real story. I'm not making this up. And we would, you know, him and I, we'd pre-scut all this, and I'd...
The beagle.
I'd vision how this, you know, how these deer ran and everything. And the damnedest damn thing was, I never killed a deer doing that. Every deer, every good buck I got on or killed or whatever, it was always on the fly.
Yeah.
Like, there he is, I got to do this or whatever. And I took a few buddies out, even back then, hunting those public lands. Like, I remember I took a buddy of mine out. Well, a buddy of mine's older brother took him out, big public land swamp in Wisconsin. I took him out, and I drew him a little map on a piece of paper. Didn't walk him in there or nothing. I said, he couldn't go up to northern Wisconsin deer camp. I said, you go sit out in this big pine out here. I said, here's what's going to happen. All this pressure's going to move in. You sit there. It's shotgun where I grew up there. It's a shotgun county. I was like, you climb up that tree, and you watch like a hawk, and you're going to see a big buck come somewhere in this swamp.
Yep.
He's you're not going to be probably close enough to shoot him, but you watch exactly where he goes and just bat him and then we'll put together a plan. He, right. he got a hold of me about noon. He's like, oh, some hunters came in. They bumped him, and then he did this. Mm-hmm. You know, and it was a pretty cool deal, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I come in there, and I was like, all right, you sit on this dike right here. I'm going to walk these cattails like this. This deer's going to wait till I get past, and he's going to cut back on me.
Right. Yep.
You know, and that's a public – that's like a high-pressure deer like where I grew up. High pressure, private, public. Everybody let everybody hunt back then.
Yeah, yeah.
Private sure. in that pocket and area. So these deer were used to private. That's the acclimation thing I was mm-hmm. talking about. Mm-hmm. So I knew that this big buck was going to hear me coming through the cattails. He'd already had that pressure, and he'd cut back. He'd wait till I got just past and then go where I just came from.
That's a pressure push.
Yeah.
That's what we call it.
That's a next level push.
Yeah, that's a next level. That's calculated.
Well, you always see it in old school magazines where you had that buck sneaking behind those two guys. Yeah. Remember that old hunting book?
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was badass.
Yeah.
Right? Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that was a good book.
Now you go to a deer. You go hunt deer in a place where they're like,
try that. That's
they got no pressure here and pressure here. They won't tolerate that.
They're going to react two different ways.
They won't do that cutting back and doing all that because they aren't. But when they're pressured everywhere, they do that.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
So what I want to get to, and we're all over, and I'm going to quit saying
Did
Chansey finish the story yet?
No, probably not.
We got to get back.
Probably not.
This is how the podcast is going to go. By the end of it, we'll get the finale of the story, but we're going to have a lot of good stories in between.
Right. Yeah, right. Just pay attention.
Hang with us. Right. We don't do this every night.
You guys are fun to talk to. I like this. I've never seen anything like this before.
Well, that's the whole point. You know, that's how we want to be. You know?
No, I like it. That's why you're on point. I love it. I love everybody that does podcasts.
Unscripted.
But this is very special to me. I think this is really cool. You guys got going on. I'm excited about this.
Oh, it's fun because we can do it. We can do whatever we want. You know? So it's cool.
For sure.
Same thing with your show. You can do it. That's what's beautiful about it.
Yeah.
The typical, though, what I was getting to with the name thing, just because I kept calling it the big typical, and you guys have always had like a hardcore following before, obviously, and always done really well because the way you guys do your thing – and kind of reach to people, it's relatable, and it's real, and it's raw, and it's down to earth, and you guys talk to people, and you bullshit with people and do podcasts like this, which I think goes a long way with your following, and people appreciate that. Mm-hmm. But have you seen a huge shift since the typical was killed, like attention and popularity and like an increase in interaction, or is it just been a steady climb from the beginning till now?
Yeah, I think there's been an increase. Here's my buddy TJ. Mm-hmm. In Wisconsin, he's gone to some shows and stuff with me quite a bit over the years.
Yeah.
And TJ brought this up to me about 3 years ago, and it clicked in my head, but it was cool hearing it from him because I had never spoke to him about it.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, 10 years ago, he's like, you'd go to a show like this, and I remember this. And those first handful of years, he wasn't there at the show, but he started going to those shows about the time that he heard this.
Yeah.
You'd go to a show, and back when we started doing the public land thing, there wasn't nothing out there hardly for public land whitetail.
Right.
I mean, you had a production or two out from the Benoit, so I tried to find them and buy what they have, but it was, I think, Tom Blaise, I think he produced some of that stuff with the Benoit.
It was slim to none.
You're
a pioneer in the game of
it.
Yeah,
public land hunting media in the whitetail world.
It didn't exist hardly at all. And when we went to a show back then, you tried selling your videos as public land, and some people wouldn't buy it because it was public land.
Really? Right. Like it was like looked down upon a little bit or
exactly.
something?
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's two. It was either looked down upon or people would be like, yeah, I hunt public, but that's the only thing I got. And it was like this depressing kind of.
Like when they watch their videos, they want to fantasize like about something
else
or something?
They dreamed of hunting private. They lost their private. They'd hunted for 10 years.
Yeah, right.
And Jim and I talked about this when we decided to launch the public land series. Like, people are losing their ground to hunt.
Yep. Through this whole
we grew up hunting public land. We hunted private, too, that a lot of other guys could hunt,
too. That's relatable.
You know, by permission stuff. And we're like, there's nothing really out there. And what got me captivated back on the public land is I hunted a private farm for 5 years in Buffalo County, and I did the whole got into the groove of, like, I knew every damn deer around there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I got so married to it. There's no mystery behind it, what we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
And 2006, that was the season where I just completely didn't run cameras, trail cameras, didn't. And that was
on the fly.
That was back
stuff.
When you take your 35 millimeter roll into Walmart and get it processed.
I ain't
never owned a digital trail camera ever. After that, I gave those two little 35 millimeter. There was the non-typical cutty back or whatever,
right?
And I gave them away to a kid that hunt. It was the farmer's kid there. But anyways, I didn't like how it took that mystery away. Like that, grew up dreaming about what could come through the woods.
I like that. I like that topic. Yeah.
And I took that whole season. I shot $4 that season. It was a great season for me. I hunted North Dakota, and I went into a piece of public, and that was, you know, I hunted tree stand underground. That particular deer was a 10-pointer. I went in there, never hunted the piece before. Went into, you know, pinch point thing that I read and shot a big, you know, 10-pointer, and I was like, oh, that was really cool, you know. And then I remember I had a tranny go out of my truck at the time. I was in the middle, it was a rut, and I dropped this tranny, and I had, you know, it was a Dodge Cummins and 5-speed, and I was
exactly
under that thing.
Right.
I was NV45 5-speed.
I'm rebuilding one right
gear
now.
You thing went out on it.
Did you weld the nut?
And I'm under no, dude. I'm the only one I've ever known that's blown the nut off. I thought the nut, you know, they had a problem with that, but yeah. I actually had the one with the Torx screw.
Okay.
When I took it apart, I was like, how the hell did I peel that? You know? Anyways, but I had my Merrill, I'll never forget, I had Merrill tennies on, and I had gotten to a point where I had a system down to where I could beat a deer's nose pretty much every time. The logo buck with the double drops, I let him go downwind because he come in 15 below, and it was a hairy situation. I was like, I'll let him go downwind. I've had 28 bucks on that private farm this last week. Not a one smelt me. I let them all go downwind. That was back before we had two guys out there. So I had a system. We're not going to go into that, but I could beat their nose, and you can beat their nose, you know. If you do everything right,
we
play the wind now because there's two of us out there. We're in and out of vehicles. We're, you know, you just
change the transmission.
It'd be miserable. It's like a full time damn job to do
changing
that.
Changing a battery out, fixing a minivan.
He's a mechanic.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank God, because I'm telling
you
right now, we wouldn't be able to hunt.
I shot this big drop tine out there, and I was like, I had it in my head. I figured this deer would go like 180, and he went high 160s. It was the biggest deer I ever shot at the time of my life. And I was like, and that was that 06 season where I was evaluating.
Right.
You know, and I was like, I was miserable. Like, because he didn't score what I thought he would.
Yeah, interesting.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But then the tranny deal dropped, and I had my Merrills on, didn't give a damn about the scent. I had a half hour left. This tranny kicked my ass. And I was just like, whatever, screw it. I'm going hunting, don't care. I had tranny flute all over the place. And I, you know, I kind of knew every deer around the area, and there wasn't a lot of big ones that year around that whole area. And I go out there, and I seen this 8-pointer, 20-inch wide, spindly, you know, young buck. Yeah. But I was like, and I seen him chasing. He was on the neighbor's land, and he was chasing a doe, and I'll never forget it. There's a little creek bottom, and he come chasing that doe, and I ran as fast as I could 100 yards where I thought they'd be, and he ran that doe right down into there, and he was standing in the creek, and I, you know, drove it. And I remember I reached over the bank and picked my arrow out of it. He had piled up and everything. It was the smallest buck I shot on that farm in Buffalo County. Mm-hmm. I was like, that lit me up.
That was memorable for
you. That's awesome.
And I was like, I love chasing big bucks. But that's the smallest buck I ever shot on this farm.
Mm-hmm. And you'll never forget
and that
it.
But here you are talking about it today. Yep.
And then 3 weeks later, it was muzzleloader season, and there wasn't a lot of big bucks around.
Transmission's still out.
No, I got that in. I got a rebuilt one. I pulled that one out, and I was like, done with it. Anyway,
it'll go there out soon.
It was a 20-acre standing hay field, and with the right temperatures in late season, deer will go to hay. You know, they love hay if it's a certain amount of temperature, and then they'll switch to corn or beans or whatever. But I had a double bow blind, $500 blind back then, and I went out there and I set this blind up. It was getting down. I had like 2 days left of the season. I kind of was playing, you know, like maybe something will cruise in. But I got to a point where I was like over it, and I was like, okay, this is the biggest buck I know around here.
Yeah,
he ain't that big, but he's going to come out here to this hay field somewhere. Muzzleloader. I went out there. I set my blind up. He come out like perfect broadside. Waited for him to get broadside. Boom, dropped him. And I was like, I ain't never doing that again. You know? Yeah.
Okay.
True story. I won't hold that to anybody, but I gave that blind my buddy that lived right there.
The timing impeccable.
He loved hunting out of that blind. I borrowed that blind to him all the time. I gave it to him that
take
night.
Blind out of there.
I said it's yours.
Just not for you.
You can have it. It's not my deal.
I respect
hunting
that,
out of it.
Hey.
I respect
and,
that.
And I was like, you know what? It's the perfect broadside shot. Wait for the ethical shot. And I was like, the only way I'm gun hunting anymore is if I'm tracking them, stalking them, jump shooting them. And I don't care if they're running. To me, that feels for me. Mm-hmm. Now, for my buddy sitting in the blind drinking a handful of Busch Lights,
probably not.
He's like,
hey, to each
well,
his own.
To each
his own.
Like,
you
know, he,
judge, you do.
It jacks him up. Right, he's all right.
He's in the moment.
It gets him. You know, and I was like, that's when I was like, okay, hunting, you need to define that for your own individual.
Yeah, everybody's got that thing,
you know,
that makes them tick.
But for me, that didn't do it. I was like, I need to be tracking them. Jump shooting them,
getting
or
after
driving
it.
Them.
You're getting out.
And
after
I
it.
Don't care if they're running. I love shooting running deer because half the time I don't hit them. And you know what? I'm like, that deer is running for a reason. I'm giving him an opportunity to live, and he's I'm not giving. I'm not granting him that, but it's a lot. Yeah. Like I'm like, okay, all right, I missed. You beat me. You're running for a reason.
You beat me this time, but wait till next time.
I've literally visioned, like, if you came to my kitchen and shot me when I didn't have a chance or no, I wouldn't like that as much as me running. You can hit me in the leg. I don't give a damn.
That's an interesting theory,
I'd rather in the kitchen.
I've never went on the record and said that, but I've thought about
it's
that.
Bold.
I'm like,
it's bold.
It's bold. Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, I'd rather you hit me in the damn leg and me know than that. But I'm not going to tell I'm not going to say that that's wrong. You know, it's whatever feels right to you.
Right, right.
You know?
I see your point. It's interesting. It's
but you got to put in, if you hit one, you got to put in that effort.
You got to you know, get it done.
And I almost lost one this year, and I told Maddie for years, Maddie Z.
I said,
Maddie, I ain't never lost one with a gun.
Yeah.
I was like, if you're a gun hunter and you hit one and you lose it, almost always, you know, there's a rare situation, but I was like, you didn't put forth enough effort.
I hear you.
And I damn near did it this year, and I felt so damn
an idiot.
Yeah, I shot one on the run of the muzzleloader, and I was 2 inches away from his heart. I mean, it was like one of them deals. Yeah. He would have lived. And
you hit him in that sweet spot where it just goes through and doesn't hit any
low.
Yeah, and it was like one of them deals, and Matt, and I was like, I know I told you this for a long time.
But it might happen.
I was like, it's, and we ended up getting him. But
yeah, right.
You know,
I see your point.
It was a sweet deal. So anyway, we got to get back.
Well, I wanted to get because
that's funny. That's stories I ain't got to hear yet. I mean, we got a lot. Everybody's got a lot of stories.
Unfolding a bunch of shit. So that fired up, and basically your mindset changed with piling into whitetail adrenaline.
Yeah.
But so after the typical big spike in popularity, or just consistent growth? Would you say?
I think it was more consistent, but you saw, I guess where I was going with that is TJ brought it up to me a few years ago, and he's like, you know, there's a shift. You know, years ago, people were like, well, that's all I have to hunt is.
Right, right.
Or.
Well, now it's trendy.
I got my private to hunt. Now trendy. It's a cool thing. Now it's like.
To hunt public.
Right. You know, I've ran into, I haven't heard that in probably 3-4 years.
Yeah.
People don't come up and have that kind of depressing, like, all it's got is public.
Right, right.
Or
it's a pride thing
and
now
and
more
also,
than it is a down thing. Like
but the what I told TJ is I was like, it's actually pretty cool. I was like, I was actually worried about that years ago.
Right. Thank you, sir.
Visionary thinking it out, I was like, I don't want it to turn into, like, a competition thing.
Right.
Because I don't like that.
I feel like some of it's
like I don't.
If
you guys hunt private or whoever hunts private or whatever,
that's a big topic. Like
you know, like fine. That's me hunting public. That's you know my deal. I love doing it.
Right. Yep.
If you want to hunt private, go do it. I don't
Exactly.
Ain't putting no. We ain't ever put nobody down. I was a private hunting, but I was a nosebleeder too. You know, I was like, I got to get somewhere close to where the big bucks live. Let's get up in here. But I'm not putting anybody. I'm not like, I killed one on public. You killed on private. I'm better than you. Whatever flavor you want to do. Yeah. What turns me on is doing what we're doing. Right?
Yeah, man. I mean,
he told me, he said, Chance, are you ready? Let's do it for years. And finally, he bought me a tag. He's like, I'm going to buy your tag. You're going to come out and hunt with me.
Yeah.
In Kansas. I was dreaming about this big buck on private that I was wanting to hunt, all giddy and goofy about it. And all of a sudden, Jared, he's like, dude, are you going to come and hunt? I bought you a tag. Let's go. He wanted to get me going with this public thing. And I was like, I knew what I want to do. Nobody's gonna make my.
He's yelling.
Yeah, nobody's gonna make my decision.
Yeah.
For me, right? Okay, I don't really know if I want to go do public. I mean, I feel like I can go do it. I've hunted public, never really for deer. You know, I pushed them during shotgun seasons, right?
Right.
And something just told me, you know, I started losing a lot of hunting ground. Mm-hmm. Pride, nothing. And anybody that puts down the leasing deal. Here's the deal. There's nothing wrong with it. You got to. The world's changing. You got to come up with times.
Yep.
If you want to be able to party, you better figure out how to lease or make money and be able to have them properties. I'm not against it. It's a bummer that's how it worked out.
Yeah.
But there's no complaining. If you want to party and be able to chase them big bucks and have the leases, you better figure something out to do it because you can't complain on the guys that are working harder than you to get that stuff.
100%.
You know,
so you got to hustle.
I can't never put those guys down. But he's like, Chant, I started losing some private, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know what? I'm just like, oh, maybe it's time, you know. Yeah, maybe it's time because we and Jared's known each other ever since I started selling my artwork throughout the shows.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, it was like that blondie girl, Janelle.
Well, hey, we got to tell that story. It's a quickie. Yeah, I can turn that quick, and we're going to talk about it. But
we'll bring it back
that's
up.
A story yes, that's
finish your story, we'll bring it back up. The blondie. So, I don't forget blondes.
Yes, I like all flavors.
I mean, the blonde.
Nice gal. She's a nice gal.
Nice lady.
Sweet girl. Bless her heart.
Bless her heart.
Yeah, but he's like, Chant.
It was 2008.
Yeah, and me and Jared, I would tell him. I said, I'm seeing this and this.
I forgot all about that, and then years later you brought that
up. Bringing it back up.
Oh, shit.
No, it's good. It's a good one. And I told him, I said, listen, I said, I'm losing some ground here and there, you know. And I wasn't, like, crying about it, but I'm just like, I'm getting sick of it.
Right.
I ain't having fun no more. I'm going into a stand. I got another guy.
He really was. He was miserable.
I was like, there's another guy.
I knew where he was at because I was there at one point. Well, six, you know. That's my defining season. So I knew where you were at.
I had 5,000 acres probably to hunt myself. Good old boy, no money.
Yeah.
Go in. Hey, go on in, Brand. Go on in there. You just
shoot all them. Some of those other guys let go them hunt too, and you're miserable.
Go in there and shoot some puke bucks.
Okay, I know what lives here. I don't want him to shoot
for
it.
You were in
that same place where I was in 06.
Right.
Yeah.
I knew exactly where
he was. Yeah, and before he knew it, I had to hide my truck and shit because I was killing some pretty good bucks at a young age, and I'm just like, I'm trying to hide and get, you know, cedar line, hide, you know, because before you know it, you got guys peacocking you, which we've all had it happen, and it's just nothing against that. You know, they want to be successful and stuff like that, and I just had to hide my vehicle and shit. Before you know it, I had guys getting permission, all of a sudden I'd be sitting in my stand, I'm like, holy, there's a stand right there.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm like, oh my God.
There's a guy right there.
You know, and I don't care who you are, when you got like a permission. I'm not leasing the ground, and all of a sudden you look over and you got to stand there. So you get negative.
I'll tell you what.
I don't care who you are.
Real quick.
But I learned to delete all that now. But now, in that time frame, I was like, you know,
you have to accept it if you're on public.
Accept it.
Yep.
Accept it. And you don't accept that. It's part of the game. You sign up for it. Yep. So you already know what's happening. There's no magical tricks. Okay?
On private, guys feel a lot more like, this is my piece. What's this guy doing? Whereas with public, you're going in with a mentality like, I'm going to have to compete with other guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like that one that I was telling about late season a month ago. I had to wait 2 days for the wind to come up. Finally, I got the wind, and within an hour of me getting the wind, like, it was no wind in the morning, I was like, screw it, I'm sleeping in, you know, which we don't actually do very often, and I'm not a morning person, but I was like, I've been doing this for 2 days watching these damn deer, and I can't do anything. If I spot one, there's 5 mile an hour wind in open country.
Right.
They're going to hear my ass, whatever. Sure. You know, and I kind of already – so I slept in that morning. I get out there about 9:30, 10. I see the weather. Wind's going to start picking up around 11. Mm. It's 10, 15, whatever in the morning. I come up the road. Damn pheasant hunters.
Oh,
no. All right? And I'm like
– another factor to consider.
Oh, no. We and love, I pulled – this is a weird section. It was a mile-and-a-half section. Most sections are mile by mile, right? I pull up mile-and-a-half section. Took me about 30 seconds, pinned him. He's laying down out there in this cut corn. And I'm like, all right, if these pheasant hunters are a half mile out. And all of a sudden, it was a little chilly morning. I rolled the windows up or whatever. All right, we'll let these pheasant hunters pass. Hopefully nothing happens. And I didn't hear it, but I'm assuming they shot or the dog barked or something.
Right.
And that buck. You know, he'd been out there for 6 damn days.
Yeah.
You know, here, there. But he was within this little quarter-mile area. But right. That's, you know, I got a little sidetrack there. But that's, you have to accept that.
Yeah, right.
You got to accept, you know? Yeah.
The right. Unknown.
Yeah. That, you know, so you can get all pissed off about pheasant hunters or whatever. And you're going to if you're a do-it-yourself hunter and you've been right. Grinding. You know, you're probably the best I've ever met at, like, getting real pissed off, but then like, yeah, well, you know.
It is what it is.
Damn festival. Messing up my program. Yeah, well, they can be here. It's public land.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, you flip the switch quick.
Yeah, yep. No. You know what? With the public and private deal, I finally got fed up with, you know, it was stressing me out. I wasn't having fun anymore.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I want to have fun. If I ain't having fun, I ain't doing it.
You're almost like
me.
Ruining it for yourself when you don't
You know
need
what I'm saying?
Be,
if I ain't having fun, I ain't doing it.
Of course.
So, therefore, after a while, I'm just like, okay, oh, he's getting permission. And after, it was like, oh, my God, this is like goddamn war, dude.
Yeah.
I'm like, get me out of this deal. I ain't fighting to kill a big buck. And then I remember Jared's like, he knew the tension. We know each other very well, and he just knew that I was kind of fed up with it.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with those guys. They got permission, too. I'm not going to put nobody down. They you know, they just, you know, they were there trying to do what I'm doing. Right. Never put down another hunter, just on different properties. You never did hunt that. I never did take you to that property. But
yeah,
I'm there.
2010, I did film you for
days. Yeah, and that was probably that was the next year. That
was when you were hunting private. I filmed you, not on the video.
I had some sexy stuff, I'm going to tell you right now. But, you know.
You peek out.
You spend the time, you're going to kill a big one. I killed some big ones back through them years, you know. And was very confident. And my nosebleed, I wasn't doing the whole deal. And I was very happy, and I felt confident. It's all about confidence when it comes to hunting. But you know what's crazy? I finally, Jared's like, are you ready? He knew the tension, right?
He could sense it.
He sensed it like a bull.
I knew where you were at because I was there before.
Like a herd bull. And I was like a satellite bull, thought I knew. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, it's time.
I was like,
it's time.
I seen you having a ball with them turkeys.
It was time. It was an awakening.
You're like,
I seen. You saw the light.
That's what that DVD should have been called.
He's like, I love turkey hunting. I was like, you love turkey hunting because it's free. It's freedom.
Yeah.
You're not married to inches
buddies.
And all
hang
that.
Out when you
know, I love killing big bucks, and it's a very thin line. Like, I love chasing big bucks, but it's a thin line. Like, with turkeys, 9-inch beard, 10-inch beard, nobody.
You don't give a shit.
You don't care. They don't
It's a moment, you know. It's a moment with your buddy deal. We all love turkey hunting.
I was like, okay, if you love turkey hunting like this, you're going to love deer hunting like this and not. You know, once you accept that public land is open for anybody else to hunt, once you accept that, like, that's just the way it is.
Right.
You know, and of course, we're all hunters. You're going to be like, damn, pheasant hunters blew it for me. Squirrel hunters, bunny hunters. You know.
It's crazy. It's almost like there. It's almost like two different sports when you look at, like, what we're used to and what you guys are doing. I mean, it's so different, but in the end, the goal's the same. Right. We're looking for big, mature deer.
Right.
It's really intriguing to just listen to the whole approach to it.
Well, that's why I like your guys' style, man. Like, it's just it's so different. It's so raw. It's so direct and just honest that it just – I think that's the big attraction to it, right? But then you mix in, like – your personality into it because you're a calculated dude, man. You can tell by watching the videos that you think about things at a higher level than what the average whitetail hunter does.
Dude,
and I feel you do too, obviously, Jared.
I've learned a lot from him.
You're a little more expressive with it.
But it's
right?
he's more expressive. I'll tell you what, I learned so much from him in that first season that I hunted with him.
Yeah.
I'll never forget it.
We had fun,
that
dude.
First hunt. That well, fun. That's that the one when though. I shot the big giant.
Like, I'm having fun again.
Finally, the awakening.
It took me about 2 days, and I was like, you were spotting, I felt like, as many or more deer than me, and I was like, I ain't never met nobody that did that to me. I was like, well, this is kind of nice.
I'm not the herd bull anymore.
Yeah, I was like, it was actually kind of like.
You're relaxing.
I loved it, though. It was, like, weird. It was, like...
You took a lot more naps that season.
Yeah, you
was
to
like,
relax, finally.
Because every damn deer that I would have spotted, he would have got... You know, he was beating me on so many, and then...
Yeah, I seen that deer 10 minutes ago. I just make sure you're paying attention.
Yeah, and then... Right. And then
right. I pulled that every once in a while.
And then it was like, well, if I did spot him first, he would have got it in 2 seconds anyway. So I was like, all right.
Yeah. It almost makes me jealous to listen to the dynamic and the way you guys approach it, because I'm still stuck in that old school way. Like, I have my farms, I run my cameras, I have my big deer that I have monitored, and like, you almost can't enjoy the farm because you're so afraid of what you might bump out.
Or your neighbor might shoot it.
Well,
or,
that too. The moves you're going to make, is it the right one? Am I going to bump this deer out? You're almost scared to enjoy the farm, whereas you guys are just so free with it and you're just enjoying it. I mean, it's
like you could buy a farm and spend minimal time on it because you're waiting for a couple weeks out of the year to make the right moves.
Yep.
And, and
it is effective. I mean, obviously it works. We're doing it. We're killing deer that way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you can't argue with like what we've done.
It makes me want to pick up, get the old Geo Metro around, and cruise the block around and glass some shit.
And just get after them.
The best way to do that is 2 miles out. Yeah. Nobody glasses 2 miles out. That's what I realized over the last year is like, don't glass yourself a half a mile or a mile out. Glass it a 2 mile out.
Right.
Yeah.
Because nobody realizes that you're looking way over there.
But how awesome for you, Jared, to have like, I mean, because you add a lot to the videos because you're expressive, which is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Because
he's very open.
He has that dynamic.
He'll let you know what he's thinking.
Well, here's my thing. We talked about this a little bit just at the show today, Jared. Like when I watch a hunting show, I'm really interested for spurts. And then I fall out a little bit. And then I get really interested in spurts, and then I fall out of it a little bit. Yep. And I think you capitalized on not letting people do that, and then your personality into it, because you're kind of like, don't think it's the wrong way, you're kind of thinking out loud, but you're like painting the picture. Yeah. I mean, you are an artist, so then there you go. Maybe that's where it comes in, but I hope that's
perfect.
No, that's perfect. I love the way you put that.
I agree. Yeah. I like this.
You paint it with your mouth. You're like, you're thinking as you're talking.
You tongue down the story. You know what I mean?
So many times you're like talking about what you're thinking at that moment. And I don't do that. I'm more reserved. And then you're like, no, this, there's so much footage that hits the floor that they cut.
He's just out on the dance
floor. When I'm editing it, I'm like, he's thinking.
I know that dance floor.
He's thinking out loud.
And he'll rebuttal on stuff that he said 10 seconds ago. And in 2 minutes, he's got it dialed in. I'm like, he's right on right now.
Hey, let's hear about this blonde. My woman?
Well,
I am a brunette man, but my woman is a blonde, and she's the most amazing woman of all time. This is cool. I'm going to tell you a quick one.
Minnesota Deer Classic. Oh, hey.
He's getting excited.
I have a feeling we're going down a deep rabbit hole.
No, this is a quickie.
Well, this is clean and mean. Nothing.
All right.
It's all innocent. We're all men here. So we love women and good looking women.
How long
were you
on the
dance floor? Good looking blonde woman.
Okay. I was
150 pounds back then, so you know.
I'm all ears. Let's hear it.
So this is the first time I met Jared and how I became friends, and it's kind of cool to know
how the hell did
me and this crazy bastard meet, right?
Right.
So I go to a show. I've been going to the shows for a couple years now, and I've been selling my artwork, my feather paintings.
Just bagging all eight.
I have been selling them things. You know, I'd bring 50 to 60 of them to a show, and I try to sell them, and I've done pretty good, and I was hop show to show to show, and Jared just came out with his DVD, his first DVD. What's the name of it?
What?
The first DVD.
Preliminary run.
Yeah. So
P-run.
He come out with that.
P-run.
Well, I'm
just
walking around. I don't have a clue.
Waters, right?
I have no clue.
Dipping your toes in.
Yeah, just seeing if people liked it, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
No, he knew what was going on. He knew he had something pretty special, and I'm pretty good at gauging shit. Okay, I can read flim-flam.
Yes, this is very good.
You know, and I'm walking
he ain't
through
himself on the back. Yeah, it's real.
I'm
good.
Walking he's through, and I love going through. I love hunting shows, man. Everybody's there. They're entrepreneurs. They're wanting to do stuff, and I love it. You know, you guys got this idea. Was this your deal? Starting out, or you guys, as a team, just, you guys are all buddies. That's what it's all about.
Started and just snowballed into what it is.
Entrepreneur, making shit happen. I'm outside the box, and that's what this world's all about.
Right.
And what's cool is I'm walking through, you know, right, just got the booth set up. It's time, right?
Yeah, right.
I'm walking through.
Single man.
I've chosen, boys. I've chosen to be single my whole life. I got an amazing woman right now.
You're making Play-Doh snakes.
What's going on over there?
So I'm bebopping through the show, you know, and you know, checking it out. What have people got here? What are something here? Maybe I need to buy. I have no money, but maybe
you were peacocking.
I was peacocking.
Well, peacocking.
I was.
I'll tell you what he was
single, ready
to mingle,
young
stallion. Program.
I mean, I'm only human. You boys don't be fooled. Okay, so I go.
He's a bald man. That's what I said.
Let's let him tell the story.
Yeah. So it was crazy. I'm walking, and all of a sudden, I'm like walking. I see this. What's that? That's good looking blonde right there. You know, I mean, I'm a single man. Okay, nothing silly about it. I'm like, oh, let's go see what the hell this lady's got. She's pretty, and there's videos. Oh, you know, this is at the beginning of. If you think about it, back then, this is the beginning of DVDs.
Yep.
You know, Whitetail Freaks just started, maybe bebopping.
A few years before that, Whitetail Freaks.
It was, but I'm just saying, like, there was a lot of stuff where a lot of people were starting to make the videos, but they, you know, different things in the television. That's when, you know, deer hunting really
modern industry was developing.
Crazy.
Yep.
And I looked over and I seen this little video going, and this good looking girl sitting here. And I'm flirting with her.
I'm into the video, but I'm into the blonde, too. What's her story?
I was flirting with her, and all of a sudden, Jack in the Box, Jared pops behind the booth. I thought she was there by herself. And he's like, hey, what's shaking, you know? And I'm like, oh, my God. He had me, you know, dialed in, hitting on his chick right there. And I wasn't literally.
I know what you're doing. You're only human.
Yeah, I mean, he was born the night, but it wasn't last night.
Hey,
right?
It's public land, you know?
Yeah.
That was him.
Credit public land. You never know. So,
but I jived with Jared. Jared popped up, and we started talking, and I can read people. Mm-hmm. He read me, and we were like, oh, shit. We're like, buddies.
Hey, what's happening?
And we kept in truck. We kept in.
I knew what drew you over there. Like,
yeah, but that's how we met. We
got you.
Really good.
That's hilarious. Cool, right?
That's single, awesome. I would have strutted out there.
Public land.
Did we just become best friends?
She was a nice gal.
Janelle was great.
That was it. But anyway,
great gal.
You know what?
We moved on.
Bless her heart.
Yeah, bless her heart. It was an experience. Life is about experiences. Yeah. We meet a lot of people through our life, and a lot of people choose. I chose to be a single man through my life because I'm a rat. I'm like a coyote in the city, okay? I like to do what I want when
you're
I want. A lot of people don't understand me. I didn't want to tame myself.
Feral.
And finally, I tame. I have an amazing woman right now, and her name is Jess John. She's my queen, man. I love her. She loves to hunt.
Ooh,
she can flip a bait caster better than most men.
There you go.
Okay, sold me.
Sold me.
She's a good one. Is she not a good woman?
Oh, Jess is
good.
That's funny, man.
She's my woman.
That
but
is
anyway,
awesome.
Yeah.
She's a nice Popped lady.
So
nice
that's
gal,
what all
nice
rolled
gal.
It in, man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you guys it just hit it off from there. And
yeah, we knew.
Yeah, the blondie. I reeled him in with the blondie.
So. No, I didn't give a shit about the blonde after I met you. I was like, I like this dude better than the blonde. She's decent, but whatever.
Jared's over here lassoing.
I'm making good friendships here. I don't
I'm
care.
Getting this son, bitch.
Right. Yeah, right. But so, we knew. We connected real, right off
we
the bat.
We hit it off
he was
the
a real deal.
Right away. He was like,
I
felt all right,
like I knew what I was
I
doing.
Like
we just hit it off.
Yeah, dude, that's awesome. It's cool how all that rolls in.
We're eating out good respect. Yeah, I knew he was up to. He knew what I was. You know.
One of those mutual things.
Nice.
Yeah, it's like, all right. I'm sorry. I stepped
That's how our together. All our crew's friendship rolled in.
I understood.
Just,
he wasn't with us.
He didn't
stuff,
see
like
me down there, Jack in the Box.
Right.
Jack,
got to be real. You can't get too defensive.
Nice recap.
You know, I mean.
Let's talk about the new videos, man, because we got some. We haven't watched them yet because we just picked them up at the show.
Yep.
So I guess if
DVDs 2021.
Hey,
standard def.
I love it. Standard def. Nice.
SD.
But for people listening, that hopefully all the shows that you guys are gonna be at here, hopefully they all happen. And COVID. Well, Joe Biden's president, so everything's gonna disappear. easy, everybody listening. You
guys,
you
mentioned politics. The World Wide Web.
Yeah, the World Wide Web.
The interwebs.
But so people listening, the DVDs, the new videos are out, so they can pick them up. At, hopefully all the shows happen that are planned, and they can pick it up. But I just want to talk about them a little bit to, I guess, promote, a.k.a. get people excited about it.
Yeah, no, Resurgence is a great set.
Yeah, I'm excited
you
to
know,
watch
it. You know, it's hunting, you know. I mean, you have years where I look at it like hunting, you have spurts. Mm-hmm. You have spurts where just everything comes together, and it's like, man, how did that happen? Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had a couple years where it was a little bit drier and a little bit rougher and everything. And Relentless kind of got us back, I think, on more on track. Mm-hmm. And then Resurgence is just phenomenal video. I think, you know.
Yeah.
We spent a lot of time on it.
I haven't even seen the whole video.
I'm at 100 miles.
I see a couple clips.
This guy's 100 mile an hour. He don't.
I'll watch it a little bit.
He's like maybe 10 years down the road.
He's too busy ripping lips over there.
Fish on, baby.
Fish on.
Mistmaster 5000.
That's right. We're going for it this year, boys.
This guy's going to be winning bass championships. I give about 2 years. You're getting real close. This year you're going to do real good, but I figure about 2-3 years it's going to be like.
That's a little time, yeah. I'm excited. Yeah, I wouldn't be doing it if I didn't think I could do it.
So. You kind of dabble everywhere, don't you?
This guy's the biggest outdoorsman I ever met in my life.
Dude, if you're friends with Terry Owens and you, I mean, you're waterfowling, you're fishing, you're living off the land, you're bow hunting.
I ain't never waterfowled in my life. I feel like a loser.
I've never done it either.
You know?
Waterfowl? Who?
Never. Me.
No?
Mm-mm.
Take him.
That's just
Terry will take you.
I'm not a pro. I mean, I've been Terry a handful of times.
Virgin.
I love.
I'll tell you what. I ate some geese or duck or whatever the hell you made, and you know, people told me for years
a bird.
You know, like I used to hunt grouse back in the day with a full choke.
Partridge,
partridge. I ain't got a rifle, but I had an 870. I got it at a gun
Covey.
Show back when I was 12 Covey. Years old. Wingmaster, you know, the ones with the good wood. And
keep out of the wood.
But I ain't never waterfall 100 mil. This guy's been trying to get me for years.
Right.
Just like turkey hunting, you didn't try.
I wouldn't do it if it wasn't fun.
The good waterfowl hunting.
Drag your ass, cuff your ass, and take your ass out and show you how to kill some waterfowl.
Right. the good waterfowl is right when the rut's going on. So it's
bring a blonde.
Well,
bring
a blonde. Let me tell you something.
And you're there. You're there.
You know,
I'm there, too.
Blondes, brunettes, I don't pick fit.
Waterfowl hunting's fun. Yeah, obviously, it's hard.
I'm with you.
To pick them times to where you
That's
can do
cute, both.
Yep. All of a sudden, there's money missing off your dresser, and your daughter's knocked up. See the hunter.
What the hell did I walk back into?
You know what? People be like, we're getting a little side topic here.
We can do whatever we want.
It's great. It's all,
I'll look
it's
at it like this. Men, all right. Men will be like, oh, she's hot. She's hot. She's hot. And she, in her back of her head, she's like, oh, he's got money, he's got money. It's both shallow things. It's just the way it is.
It's the way of the world.
Hey, you know? Hard to argue with, man.
You know?
Well, this was fun, dude. I mean, we don't have to end it out, but I do appreciate you guys meeting up and just bullshitting with us.
Oh, man,
about it.
It's great. No, you guys are great dudes. I can, you know. Hey,
you pick up the
good
vibe.
People. I know good people.
You're
when
cool.
I meet
you're
them.
Cool. You're well, shit that, ass. You're cool. I'm out.
That's what I like about podcasts because, like, you know, we have the studio and we do some that are like super focused, super serious, and stuff like that. Then we do some that are mixed, and then we can do some that are like
variety
all over and just lighthearted and fun. And maybe there's no point to it at all. We're just having a good time.
I don't think I've ever had more fun than I've had on this podcast.
Yeah,
that's all over the place.
The sporadicness of it is fun because
we didn't even. Get to the end of your story.
Yeah, I know, but
we need to finish out with that.
Yeah, because
we gotta get on change.
We can circle full back into it. Like we can do whatever we want. But I like what's going on.
I'll never forget that time we did that podcast, and you're like, "Yeah, we're Loosey Goosey Unscripted." You guys are like cracking beers,
in
the background or whatever, and I'm like,
episode 15 was the first time Jared was on. This is four.
I remember.
I literally, when I did that podcast, I literally thought in my head like,
who are these fuck noses?
No, not that. I was like, I really like this, but I wonder how it's going to work out.
Well, yeah, it was the beginning.
I literally thought the beginning. Didn't say that.
It was the beginning, yeah.
I was like,
that was 6 years
but
ago.
But then in the back of my head, I was also like, I think people kind of like a little bit of that unscripted.
Yeah.
I dig having it. A couple Jared, beers. And
it's relatable to the
and,
crowd that you're trying to appeal
you know,
to.
Whatever. Yeah. You can know, you believe that a couple was, swear words maybe don't get too out of
yeah,
hand,
you keep it in bounds. But can you believe that was 6 years ago? Just about 6 years ago.
Well, you know what's
close?
Yeah.
Close to it.
What's crazy is that hunt. I want to tell you a little bit of my side about the big giant that really set it off. And I'll tell you right now, Jared, that hunt, it was a very, very unique deal because I was like, this is meant to be. You get this weird, like, he's doing
that
public.
That was the first hunt we ever did together.
This is public. I knew. I told him, I said, this shit's going to hit the fan when we start hunting.
I got, right.
And
right.
I told him, I says, listen.
Yeah, I'm pacing myself.
I said, listen, you listen, young man. And I said.
You listen here.
And I'm like, in my mind, I messed up on Droopy.
Droopy.
Remember Droopy? Mm-hmm. I messed up on that deal. So it was his turn. And when I was going back and forth, I'm not a greedy person. I said,
that's what I was saying about the videos when I was editing. You were like 3 days in on the hunt. I was coming through this footage, and I added everything in like sequential order. So I come across, it was like 3 or 4 days in, and you're like talking about deer to name, and you're like, he's got an ear that hangs down here. He's called Droopy, left ear, whatever the hell. And then you hit that deer like 2 days later in the damn ear, and the same ear that you called.
We were making.
And I was like, people are gonna think we scripted this shit. I didn't know I edited it. And I was like, I gotta put it in there. But I was like, it's gonna sound like, how can you call that shit?
You know, like, no. So the Droopy deal all started when we were just talking about naming deer. Oh, that's old Droopy there, old Browser, and da da da.
Browser.
And I said Droopy. No shit.
Droopy. And, his left ear rings, and you hit him in the left ear, and his dude. I never saw that buck without a doe.
Horrible.
Thought he was so cute.
Anyway, that was
ornery.
He had character.
Horrible,
like
horrible moment. But it was.
I almost killed that deer.
Dude, I'm glad I didn't wound him up real bad. He lived had girlfriends pass my name.
Passed my time.
Yeah, passed my time.
You shot him in the ear and he lived?
He lived, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Dude,
yeah, I didn't.
2 days before that happened, we were like making a joke about how people name deer or whatever, right?
That's hilarious.
And we made a joke. We're like, yeah, we name them when they're in the battle. We, you know, like we get in the battle once you have a beat on them. And
they're deserving of a name.
Season.
Yeah, once you make a connection name. With
you
them.
You know,
guys.
And I was trying to, you know, it's like, I got buddies that name deer seasons out. We're going to let them go to grow and all that. But we're laughing about all that. And
well,
we're
I want
like, yeah, we don't name deer till we are in the heat of the battle. And he says,
deer.
Yeah, we call him Droopy because his left ear rings. And then 2 days later, he
I group one up. I drooped him up.
You know, I mean, drooped up.
You made a little more. You made a little more droopy.
Well, I do want to talk.
I you know, I'm filming unscripted. You don't remember that you filmed that. It was on video,
right?
And then it was like I almost didn't put it in the video because I was like, it's going to seem like it's.
Scripted.
Right, it's just too
like,
coincidental
you,
to like play
exactly.
it off as like on.
But I was
an
like, no,
thing.
I'm letting it go. Whatever.
I'm letting it
well, Chancey, I want to talk about your perspective on this. Typical, like going back when I was talking about how expressive you are. Because if I was with my say I was with Eric and he was on a buck like that, I'd be freaking the fuck out the whole time about dude. That's a world class typical.
Right.
Like
I knew it was,
so,
man.
Yeah,
I'm like I live in Iowa. I've seen a lot of big bucks. I've seen a lot of camera pictures. Used to run a hunting place and took care of a bunch of these guys from Texas and tried to put them on big bucks. I've seen a lot of big deer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I seen that deer when we seen him, and I'm just like, this is a big one. This is 180 plus typical frame.
I remember you saying. Top five bucks.
Top five. And he's like,
bucks.
Top five, you think? I said,
and then,
yeah,
and then
five.
It went down to top three. And
yeah,
then
he got
big. Right behind the round, but he's like, that might be the biggest I've ever seen.
Oh, I was trying to think that I've seen
video.
Him.
I
yeah,
seen
right.
Him.
Right.
It was cool to listen to that, and I kept it in my head like,
well, I want
140.
I want Chancey
to 140
in the moment.
I want you to do like a, give me like your thought, like your inner thought monologue. Like, let's go uninterrupted here, like, because I want you to, like, really express through, like, you see this buck, then you realize how big he really is. I want you to break that down.
Once we got in, Jared was doing a lot of the glasses. I was filming now. So I had the big camera going. It was me and him. We were teamed up. And I finally, you know, I'm filming Jared. It's his time. right? This
and
is dance
floor. Just to put things in perspective, we spotted that deer. He was on private, and we knew
days
there was some
prior,
public that bordered
prior.
It.
And dreamed about it.
Yeah, yeah.
That was on day two. But the morning we spotted him, he was on private.
Yes.
And we drove 1 mile. It was pretty much exactly 1 mile within a couple hundred yards. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. 1 mile all the way down so he wouldn't get weird.
Yeah, yeah.
And we took that fence line, and it was all grass.
We're gonna have an opportunity at the biggest typical we'll probably ever have an opportunity to have.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's harder to do it there because you know you don't
walk-in.
Know this deer
that
don't live
that
on,
came out of walk-in like
this
two
deer
years
don't
later
yeah this deer don't live on public. He mm-hmm. chased a girlfriend. He chased the wrong woman.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
This is a buck that, you know, some guys chase the wrong women, and yep. they end up hurt, broke, lost, whatever, just
get
like the dude
place.
That did the
yeah.
Yep.
Right.
statistics, right?
Yep.
We've
yep.
all been
you know,
there.
Get a bunny in the pot or your tire slack. Right. Well, he got mounted, right? He's mounted. He's got replicas of him now. What's crazy, we slid in that thing, and we got up into that little hay bale.
It was like the ditch of the round bale. Yeah, the round bale, it was probably a 10-year-old round bale. It had been sitting out there forever.
Rotten.
We fluffed
it's
it
rotten.
Up.
Yeah, yep.
You just know. In a beautiful spot.
It's yep. walking in yeah. Kansas. Yep.
We fluffed that sucker up like it was a brand new one, just to where I could get tucked in. And what was cool is I'm an artist. I can see things how it's laid out, and I kind of got back. And this deer, he's got this doe up in this little thing, but he's getting giddy. She's wanting to go our way, and this buck started kind of peacocking her and trying
nothing
to keep her from coming that way, but she yeah. wanted that way. And eventually, she's coming through, and we both
like,
knew.
You could see
that
the way
was
he
coming.
Was guarding her and everything. Like
exactly.
That.
Trying to cut
so,
her off and everything.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I just, in my mind, I'm like, I have to, let's zone in here. I'm going to figure out how I'm going to film this thing and how I'm going to be able to get him in the shot.
The shot.
And that thing, that
so
is
beautiful.
The sickest clip.
Yep.
And I did it exactly. I'm like, he's right there. I'm gonna get right there to where he's in the frame.
I told Chance, just stay wide. Just stay wide on the shot.
And everything.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of the sexiest still frames of all time.
Yeah. Easily.
And that was a cool moment.
Really
and I
is.
When he did that, and, you know, obviously it didn't work out right at that moment. He ended up putting another arrow in later down the road. That was – I knew it was a special deal. I said, this is probably one of the biggest typicals ever shot on public ground with a longbow. One of the biggest.
This drive me
one
crazy.
One of the biggest typical shot with a longbow.
You know, yeah,
and
yeah.
I was like –
that threw me.
There's nobody – that deserve you know he's all public and all this brand that he's built up and there's nobody that deserved it more than Jared with all the time and this drive with the public thing right. It was so meant to be. You look at shit that happens for a reason, start doing the math of how that happened with the story and how it worked out for
yeah.
him, what he's doing
right.
That was so amazing. I was like, this is crazy special.
Well, and the big,
right here.
The
yeah,
big,
yeah,
the big takeaway was persistence. I mean, you guys stayed with
yeah,
that deer
yeah.
for 3 days, and I mean, that's what it's
and
all
about.
And
we didn't
about.
See him.
I tried yep. pulling him off. I said, dude, you're losing
like,
your mind.
The only way we're going to kill this deer, he ain't yep. going to die. He'll live for
well,
not
and it's
years.
Easy to be defeated
that
after.
Broken leg. It ain't a lethal hit.
Yeah, gonna, after doing that on a deer that caliber, it's easy to just lay down and die, but you guys didn't. You stuck with him, and I mean, look what came out of it.
It was unbelievable.
What a lot of people don't catch in the video, because we don't do voiceover
commentary and all that, yeah.
But if you watch close in that shot, I was right on that deer, and then at the last second, I dropped my bow arm. And I always remembered we shot basketball. Shay and I shot, we'd roll basketballs. And at the last second, I was like, 9 times out of 10, you shoot behind him. And I dropped my bow arm and led him too much. You've seen that. It don't take much. When you got a deer 20 yards out or a basketball or whatever you're shooting at, you drop that and you move that, and it's about a half inch. I moved it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I caught it in post. I was like, what the hell went wrong there? Like, why did I hit him in the leg?
Yep.
Like, not
it's
that
nice
I'm,
to have that
I'm
video
not
to
a crack shot.
On.
I would say that I'm below average, slightly below average of a trad.
Interesting.
Well, yeah, I don't know yeah. about that.
No, I am. I mean, I've missed a lot of deer on video. I've missed at least as many as I've killed. I've only lost one that I've hit, and that was that same season. I hit him high. He ducked a lot or whatever. But I caught that in the video. I dropped my bow arm, and I literally remembered flashing back, like, when you're shoot, like I practice a lot. It's actually funny. With traditional gear, most guys that never shot a long bow or recurve, they're usually better or pretty damn spot on. They can hit a moving target better or very close as they can a stationary because they don't have time to think about it
right.
with a moving mm-hmm. target. And when I watched that video, I dropped my bow arm and let him. And I remembered that thought going through my head. I thought about it too much.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know? But I, looking back on it, I was like, that built such a great story.
Yeah. Oh, it was phenomenal.
I was like,
sure.
if I would have double lung that, they would have been like, you know, there'd been people.
Oh, dude,
that
it would still have been
like,
fucking awesome.
It would have been this epic. Prick arrogant
you can't
bastard.
Go wrong with that, dude.
It was staged.
You couldn't go wrong either way, but. It is sweet the way it happened.
Right? Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. And I almost, I mean, he was probably 60 yards out there on their trot, and I damn near
yeah.
stroked
that
him
was
there.
Just sailing it.
Yeah,
I
just,
love it.
Just letting hey. It fly, and I yeah. was like, but that's, you don't have time to think about that when
same,
that's going
I
on.
I did the same thing this year. It wasn't a 60-yard shot, but, yeah, just to see the arrow just humming through the air, I mean, that shot was fucking
I'm like, it's going, and then he,
you know, it's crazy. Oh, though, you,
God
hey,
damn it.
Hey, you think about it too much when you got a 16-inch Jude 2 buck, no bebop, and Jude Louise getting ready to come yeah. into the jungle where you're
we
hunting.
Didn't know he was that big either because he's a real lightweight
like,
deer.
I mean,
he's
just bebopping.
Dude, he's, yep. they're this big.
I've been coming unglued.
12 inches is here.
That yeah. deer freaked I mean, us out yeah. because I mean, he was so
small
body.
It was a mule deer buck without the split.
And usually when they're small body, they shrink on you.
Yeah. Ooh. Dude, it's just, it's crazy,
weird.
Man.
We walked up to him and it was like, holy shit.
He just
shit.
Kept growing.
It's
we expect him to shrink.
Right. Oh, yeah.
We're trying to be real.
Ground growthage, baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ground
growth. Hey, yeah. He never complained about that.
Dude, it's,
yeah.
You're humble, man. And you're
super
a pioneer
humble.
In the game, dude. Like, it's, even though it's technically from the industry standpoint, it's a little later in the game, but like the modern industry and what you're doing, there's nobody doing anything like it, man. You're a pioneer, whether you admit it or not, man. Yep. You've really
there's
paved.
Still
I had a good buddy,
way.
The buddy of mine, Colby, from he hunts a lot of like northern Wisconsin. He lives just outside of Chicago.
Yeah,
but he loves hunting northern Wisconsin, which is about as tough as you can get. It's tough hunting,
big
and he loves it for that reason. Like his dad owns a farm, and
well, that's
like
my
Illinois
problem with, like,
or something, and or Missouri or something like that.
Yeah,
and you can go down there and, you know.
Yeah.
I hear do it. Pretty well.
Well, Chad,
but
if,
he
hunting
loves,
wouldn't be any fun if it was easy, though. You know what I mean? And that's why your DVDs and videos and all that do so well, because you're doing it the most difficult way you can do it. Where, you know, I cringe a little and I get, you see like the new double crossbow two-arrow thing. That makes me cringe because it's like, it doesn't need to be any
even
easier.
Know
like
we, that's
it's
a thing
it's,
now.
It's a thing now.
Double arrow. Yeah, it makes you wonder about the progression in the future. Like, okay, if we're here now, what's going to happen
well,
five
that's,
years?
That's
Star Wars. Be,
but you know
lightsaber,
what? You know,
lightsaber.
There's a certain amount of people I think that'll be like rebuttal to that.
But that's what I like. What you're doing, what you're doing. You're encouraging people to go backwards. You're encouraging people to go backwards.
And I'm not a crack shot.
Well, this
no,
is where
no,
like,
you don't have
really
to be.
Not.
You're
no,
you're
you
being
don't.
Successful.
You just got to be deadly, right?
You're
here.
Being successful
right
with traditional equipment.
Well, this is where like Pope and Young
Paper
gets
plate.
Pope
Paper
and Young gets plate. A little bit of hate here because they have certain rules that allow their bucks in the record book and all this. But really, if you break
I
it
never
down,
entered them.
Pope and Young. I mean, whether you enter it or not, but their mission is maintain kind of the challenge and ethics in bow hunting
a level. Fair chase.
And I get that. You don't have to agree with everything of their rules or guidelines or whatever you want to call them, but that's kind of like they're like with technology and everything, there's got to be a line.
Yeah. You maintain know, a level of fair chase.
In 80 years, you got to limit it because with all the technology, you just have to.
Yeah.
Right? You know, it's what are you going to I don't know. It's going to be crossbows with I don't know, thermal sensor technology that if you're off 3 inches, it senses the
heat sinking.
It senses the rise in temperature where the heart is and goes to the heart.
I agree 100%.
That's where I
aimed.
Here's
the bottom line in my opinion. Okay, that's the only deer I've scored in 14, 15 years.
Yeah.
I scored that big one I told you about earlier.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The deer I shot in 06 with the double drops. He didn't add up to what I thought he was going to be.
Yeah, yeah.
And I decided after that point I ain't never scoring a deer again.
See, I think
then
that's
I
awesome.
Shot that big typical, and people, I didn't score him. Yeah. And then people started to get, like, on Facebook, like, remember? I shot that big deer, and
people
didn't
know
his
scores.
Like, you had the pictures or whatever. Well, they leaked. I just want to take it in for a few days.
Like, right. Yep. Of course, yeah.
It's whatever.
I didn't. Let it simmer. I wasn't. Let it simmer. Like, it got out there on the internet, and
the interwebs?
Yeah. Yeah, and it released, and then there's all these rumors going around, and now we have to post.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I was trying to take it in for a few days, just whatever. Yeah. Just
I feel you though, Jared. With the score thing, man,
deer, it's world class deer.
Yeah, well, with the score thing, I feel you too, because I didn't kill a 200-inch typical this year, but I killed a good buck, a real good buck, like tight rack, tall tines with a little baby dropper.
Feeding them to you,
and I measured him because I knew immediately. Yeah. Everyone's like, "What he measures?" Yeah. I measured him, and he measured okay, good, but not. He was like 5 inches smaller than I thought he was, and then I found myself like thinking about him different.
Yeah,
and I'm like, "What the fuck am I doing, man?" Like, I get that 100%.
And you know what? I didn't score that deer until people started posting about like, "Oh, I think this is a 170." You know, that's
right.
He stuck him well, and the one damn photo. When I looked at the photos that we took, I was like, we'll never post that one because it was like way the
your
hell
long arm in it or whatever.
You know which one I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It leaked. And of course, that's the one that got out there. And I was like, oh, damn it.
Well, I mean, you took some good pictures.
Like, he's a big ass buck. You don't
need to make it look any bigger.
But here's the thing, the people that criticize that don't know what deer actually look like, because anybody that knows what deer look like goes, that's a world class tip.
And all of a sudden, there's all these people that are like, so I was kind of like forced into it. So that's the only deer I've scored since that double draw.
Well, if I long arm a 140 to make it look like a 190, people know that's a 140's long arm and it's made it look like a 190.
Well,
if they know what they're looking at.
You long arming son of a bitch.
That's kind
of
why I got that one picture with the longbow sitting in his rack because I was like, okay, some people understand how long a longbow is or got a good idea. You know, that's why I did that picture.
I took all kinds of flavors to make it look good.
Right, but some people got all like...
A bunch of Kool-Aid flavors.
You know how it is.
Oh, yeah.
You know, some people are like...
People just hate to hate, too. So,
you know,
fuck
he's not as big as he really... And it's like, he's a big buck, but then I got in this weird thing and it was like...
He's not 300 sudden, typical.
It was
but he's...
weird, dude. All of a sudden it was like, you're an asshole if you don't get this deer scored. And I realized that. I was like... I ain't scored one since that double drop.
I get
that was
the
deer that
saying.
Was like, I'm done scoring deer. I love chasing big deer. I love hunting big deer and everything. But who cares about the
it
number?
It don't matter.
But here's
that was that's the only deer I've scored since.
Yeah,
well, never skilled like my velvet deer. Never scored him.
That's cool. I think that's great. But
he didn't get enough heat to draw that in.
Right,
and I'm glad he didn't.
But right.
That was the deer where I was like, okay, I have to score it. Yeah. Otherwise, you're an asshole. You're not giving respect to the animal.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I get that he's a big deer. And
just
everything.
Let me appreciate the way he is.
I would have never scored that damn deer.
I get that.
If people didn't push it.
Well, that too is like people want to know the number, but then as soon as they hear a number on a deer, like you could have a deer with, we'll just say double drops or whatever. Oh, he's 130, but he might have 2 6-inch drops, and it's like, well, 130 doesn't, and you know, I made up this deer in my head just now. 130 doesn't. Okay, you shot a 130-inch buck? Yeah. Oh, well, here's a picture of him. Oh, damn, it's a double dropper, and he makes up most of his inches in the drops. Like that's cool, or you know what I mean? It's like because the number doesn't really explain how unique the deer is.
Sorry, I realized with that deer that I told about, the railroad tracks, we walked in there, I didn't know, bumped him. We were tree stand and ground hunting back then.
Yeah.
Bumped him, hung tree stands, got a little too cold, came down. I was like, let's check this public land out, stalked through it. I shot that up until the big typical. Not because of what he scored. It was just a really cool story. That was my favorite deer of all time.
Yep.
And I shot deer like the double dropper. He was my favorite deer up until that point. Well, that one took the cake. I was like, man. Hey, yeah. Not because he scored higher, well, because it's a really cool story.
Yeah, when you look back on and your so wall, it's I not look, always the highest so, scoring deer.
So when I look back
memory.
At that typical, that's what made that story great. I mm-hmm. was like, because I hit him in the damn kneecap.
Yeah.
Didn't put a good shot on him. Persistence and all that. That made that deer. I was like,
yeah.
I'm so glad I didn't double lung him. I looked back at it and I was like, I'm so glad I didn't double lung him. Yeah, it would have been cool and I double lunged him. But, you know, it would have been like this.
Wouldn't have been like the as much. It wouldn't have played out as intense. And
yeah.
I hear you. I hear
it was a humbling moment.
I hear you. And that's good for character for sure.
Oh,
like,
for sure.
We all need it. And it does happen
we all need
to us too.
I don't
that's
care how good you
you're
going to
get it no matter
I don't
what
care
you
how good you are as a hunter.
Let me
and the thing about filming stuff unscripted and raw is if you're a true filming unscripted and raw, you're going to mess up.
Yeah. And then it,
and
you
that's what
have
I
to
love
put it
about
out there
it
how it happened
because people watch that and they're like, "I've been there too."
Oh yeah.
And when they're sitting on their couch drinking a Busch Light, watching the TV, they're like, "How could you do that? How did you miss that deer? How did you do that?" And it's like, go crawl around out there for a while.
Yeah, right.
Let you'll me, understand. I wanna switch. You don't have time to pull a rangefinder out. Is he 30? Is he 35? 40? Obviously, with longbow or trad gear, you don't do that. You just go off a feel. But it's really – it's a whole different game.
Right, right, for sure. Hey, I want to switch gears.
Yeah.
You kill a lot of deer. And I know both of you guys have. And this question is for both of you guys. Are you guys big taxidermy guys? Like, if you go into your house right now, is there a ton of whitetail mounts? Is there a ton of fish mounts?
I got more Vinosh and European than any. I still ain't mounted the giant, the true giant rack. I ain't
the actual rack. Yeah.
Wow,
taxidermy.
Well, you got
that
replicas
is for five.
You got replicas
6 years
though,
or whatever so, it is now.
Yeah, yeah, I'm the same way.
I ain't had time. I got an idea of what I want to do with him, and I ain't done it yet.
Yeah.
Those
yeah
are crazy replicas, like the full body.
What about you?
Replicas.
Yeah, no, I'm the same way. I think I've got like 10 mounted, and then I got like 15 that I need to mount.
Yeah.
But I started doing Europeans.
At least.
I kind of like them. I don't really have the space.
He ain't mounted a deer since I've known him.
I haven't.
That's a true story.
Yeah,
true.
I mean, I got these beautiful Europeans.
Story.
Boiled out. I got them boiled out,
true,
you know, and it's just time. Someday down the road, maybe I'll get them all mounted. You know, I'll probably have to, you know, a lot of them capes, I just, you know, I saved them and something just didn't work out. You know, I didn't have a ton of money. I was killing enough where I'm like, this is getting expensive, you know, and it was not a bad thing, but I'm like,
good
I can't
map
afford it.
Yeah, good problem,
bad problem.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I was like, you know, I
between
just had
the arrows and how much it costs to mount the deer, you know, like, I got no more than I do like mounting them.
Well,
so
my priorities were,
budget here.
Yeah, my priorities were like, yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, I don't need to get them out. Maybe I'll get them out, and then all of a sudden, boom, I'd have all all my deer, and I'm just like, wow, they're a bunch of beautiful bucks. And it's like someday down the road, I have a lot of guys that shotgun hunt, and they'll give me capes, and someday I'll be able to mount them all. But I'm like, some of them, I just love how sexy they look with the European.
Oh, yeah.
They're beautiful, and I do mine. I don't bleach them.
Sure.
I do that natural boil them, spray them, and you got them dark cracks, and they look clean.
Yeah,
they're clean.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not going to smell like a pile of poop in the house. You
yeah,
know,
right,
that,
right.
You
so
know,
there is something about like being able to pick up the rack and handle it that I like.
Dude, Tanner brought that up to me recently.
Like a crapper
tank.
It is.
Yeah, because you can. I'm a taxidermy guy. Chandler's a taxidermy guy. Doug, you guys both got a fair amount of taxidermy.
Beautiful.
But I like to see all, like, if this we're in this room we're in right now, I like to see, oh man, this is my whitetail mounts. They're pretty. They're proud looking. They're. It's honorable.
But then you can't hold them.
But, yeah, you can't pick them up and be like, man,
exactly
feel that too. Feel the
said
mass on that motherfucker. You right know, you can't. You're like, but if I ever kill a 170-plus, like, true booner, I will get a replica made. One, to bring to shows, like kind of what you've done, Jared. But and be like, check that out. Like, let's talk. And you can feel it. And it's just a cool
it's
thing.
It's a cool deal.
It's
it
a
is
conversation
it's
piece. Yeah.
I got my one I shot last year laying by the fire. I always did. I always had that thing bedded up.
I look at the pictures. I crashed at Jess's place. You were down in Texas or whatever. I crashed there a few weeks ago. And I hadn't seen the deer. You know, I seen the pictures on Instagram. You know, Mandy posts them. And all of a sudden I was like, what's that chocolate rack? I got to think for chocolate rack.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So what the hell is that?
Dark is that fireplace.
Yeah.
I mean, he shot a ton of big deer, but I seen that chocolate rack, and I didn't recognize it. And I go, I'm getting closer. And I'm like, holy shit, that's the one he shot.
Mm-hmm. I bowled
and
it out.
I remember you telling me it was a 165, 170, and I walk up, and I'm like, holy shit, that's a deer he shot this year. That's a big-ass deer.
Yeah.
Like, there ain't no photo tricks. He grew on me when I grabbed him.
No, he's grown. Like, he ground growth.
These photos.
Ground growth.
Beautiful buck. I mean, yeah. I'm happy. He turned me on.
I was like, this deer's bigger than any
some deer
of
you just have to handle
look,
to really
you know?
Appreciate him.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
I would say most deer you have to handle to
and
appreciate
I will say this. Chancey's an Iowa boy, so usually Iowa boys, in my experience, they're pretty good with the trick photography thing. I don't know which one he uses all Iowa,
Chancey,
but Iowa boys are real good
Iowa
with
boys.
They're real good here. With it. They're real good with the photography.
You got to play the game.
They leave the
you know,
Illinois boys out of this.
You know, they kill big-ass deer in Iowa, obviously, but I walked up to that thing and I was like,
I don't
that
lie about
a bitch is
lie.
Bigger than what he looks on mm-hmm. the pictures.
Yeah, yeah.
He was a beautiful buck. You know, it's going to be a cool video to watch. You know,
Jared,
some things didn't work out the way they wanted.
But. I got if you want a chocolate rack, I shot an 8.5-year-old in 2015.
He's cool.
Yeah.
Wow, he's real cool.
That's an old buck. That's old geezer out there.
8.5-year-old. That's
coming out.
He's blind as hell. Eric just walked up and shot him. Probably.
Oh, yeah.
He's in a walker.
Blind? Left eye?
I shot a blind buck one time. Well, he was blind in both eyes. He had
that
one eye, but I worked.
Hey,
he was blind in the right, and I worked him on the right.
Hey,
I
didn't know mine was blind until I looked at the pictures, and you can tell the one eye is just totally glazed over.
You ever see like a wiener dog that's in one of those little wheelchairs with the wheels in the back? That buck was in one of them.
Chancey said, I'll
you
take a
wrong.
Wheelchair buck.
Hey, I've been screwed by enough big bucks. I need one wheelchair dog.
Dude, that's what you literally said in the video.
Really?
He was blind.
You're like,
Doug's the only one who found that really
funny.
Oh, yeah,
I thought it was amazing.
You literally said, I'll take a wheelchair buck. Is what you
well,
said.
Yeah, I've been screwed by enough big bucks. You know, maybe one out of 50, you can get an easy one.
Well, fellas, here's what I want to do. This has been awesome. And we don't have to close it out, but we got beer to drink, and we got people waiting on us here.
And there's probably some blondies out
there. There's probably
know?
A couple out there.
Don't you be jibbing.
There ain't no
me.
Women
you're,
here.
You're tied up.
There is no women here.
We're
for
all
the,
in trouble
for
now.
The record. Can you guys, we'll close with this. Pick, and this might be tough, but I'm going to do it anyway. One thing that someone might not know about you from what they see from Whitetail Adrenaline or from here, listening to podcasts or whatever it may be. And we'll close with that.
Why don't
you go first.
No, you first.
That knows about me.
I'm a Pisces.
I'm a Gemini.
You know, I have worked for myself my whole life. I've dabbled when I was younger and kind of did a little restaurant work and did a little conservation. But I'm an entrepreneur, and everything I've done on my own.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that we both are. We are entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
And I don't like to work for nobody. I don't work for Jared. I do this because I love to be here.
He
don't pay
me.
He bought me my bow. I love that. And he treats me very well. And we're friends. We do this because we're friendship.
Yeah, yeah.
I am an entrepreneur, and I love making things happen on my own, and that gives me the freedom to do what I love to do.
Yeah.
And I'm very fortunate, and everything that I've got to do in my life is because of my artwork. That was my end. That's how I met Jared. That's how I've got to do everything in my life and meet a lot
of
really amazing people.
Of the blonde, but
whatever about the blonde.
Artwork
but,
got him
see you forever.
The realistically, we would have been friends anyway. I mean, I forgot about the blonde, but I'm telling you. That's how – that gave me my end of my life to be able to get to do a lot of the thing. A lot of people are like, God damn, he's running around wild.
God damn.
It's been my end.
Yeah, right.
It's been my end. My artwork has gave me that thing that gave me to be able to make a lot of friends and stuff. Who's this kid? Oh, he's an artist. Oh, and it's pretty cool, man. I'm very blessed. Very blessed with my right hand to be able to paint. My dad was an artist. He passed last July, and I got that art talent from him.
Harry.
And I've been very
Dirty
fortunate.
Harry. He painted the boat for Miami Vice.
He did. So that's something about me.
That's cool, man.
That's me, and I am always gonna work for myself, and you know,
awesome.
I'm just trying to chase my dream.
That's awesome. Yep.
Barely get
by years ago. I ain't working. For
sorry,
nobody,
to hear about your old man.
But no, he's a great man. He's here with us right now. Yeah. He's
drinking
like
some beers.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. Blackberry brandy. Blackberry.
Dirty Harry was the rascal. That guy
is a rascal.
Good guy,
Jared. What's something that nobody would know about you from watching watching the show or listening to podcasts or wherever they can find you.
New man vodka.
Not a good mix. Huh? All right. Don't get Jared on vodka.
Don't get me on vodka.
He don't sleep.
Yeah.
Well, in the night. No, I'm not. I'm a night owl. I don't get up to alarm clocks. Don't believe in that. I don't even set them anymore because I'll just sleep through them.
Happened this morning.
Yeah.
I did that this morning, too.
A lot of guys, they're like setting their alarm clocks and getting out there before the deer are moving and all that. And I just accepted it a long time ago because I realized, like, I'm not a morning person. So I'll get out there a lot of times. Sun's already up, whatever. And the hunters are coming out. And you're just sitting back watching deer. And, you know, they bebop. Deer move and they do that and... You know, you're more of a morning person.
No, I don't like mornings.
Like mornings. You're,
I make myself get up. I don't like mornings.
I brought the loudest alarm clock.
Entrepreneur, not a morning person.
If you could hunt deer illegally or, well, deer's, yeah, I've hunted some elk, but if you could hunt deer at night, I'd be damn good. Not because you can hunt them at night, but because I'm a night owl.
Yep. Right, that's where your brain's moving.
Give me a flashlight and shine in your eyes.
I can stay up all night, no problem. Go on tomorrow, work the show.
Zombie.
Whatever. But you try waking me up once I'm down, good luck. My sister, Danae, she used to throw DVDs at me. I'd tell her, I was like, all right. Wake me up. I got to edit.
Yeah.
And she'd throw DVDs literally at my head.
Just to get you rocking, huh?
Yeah. Till I woke up. Like, so, loudest alarm clock that you can find on the World Wide Web would not wake me up. I can sleep through that for 2-3 hours.
Well, there's people like that, man. There's people
and I don't,
third shift.
I'm not
there's
saying,
guys that love that.
You know,
you know?
We've been drinking the midnight oil all night.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, sober. I talked to a doctor about it. I got a problem, all right? I can't wake up normal. And I'm like,
well, that's why you're an entrepreneur, though, because.
And he's like, no, you just sleep deep. And I'm like, no, it's a problem. I bought the largest alarm clock you can get in the World Wide Web. And I'll
the
sleep
World
right
Web.
Through that son of
a Well, I get what you're saying, though, Jared, like, because, you know? I think naturally, if but I just could do my own schedule all the time without a day job, I would tick overnight, but. I've just done this force get up and go work for somebody.
I can't do it.
Since
I
was a teenager, that it's just, I hate getting up, but I'm just in the cycle. But, you know,
that's great. Don't give that up.
When things evolve and cycle, though, I will probably be the guy that hangs with the fam. They go to bed, and then I'm working on podcast editing and business work until morning. And once I get everybody off on their way, then I'd probably, you know, sleep. During the day, and then wake up and start my cycle again. But it's cool, man. But this has been a hell of a lot of fun.
That's been a blast.
I appreciate the hell out of you guys.
Hey, we got more to talk about. We'll have to do another one some other time.
We got it.
Part two.
You're down in our neck of the woods with mutual friends and everything.
Yep.
Jared, we'll get you on again, man. Another show. We'll get together. We'll get you down to the studio.
Yeah.
And that would be a riot.
Where's it at exactly?
New Windsor, Illinois is the town.
Oh, shit.
But
we might get up in there.
It's 45 minutes away where Austin and his boys are.
Yeah, okay.
So, not far.
You're within an hour of where
you're. We'll make her happen, boys. We'll make her happen.
Easy. We'll get it done for sure.
I'll bring a couple halibut steaks. We'll make some shit.
Talking my language.
Get Joseph to.
I ain't scared.
Yeah. We can fly in there.
Well, cool, boys.
Yep.
Appreciate it, man. It was fun.
Absolutely.
And we always close out every show. I mean, Jared, you know what to do. Go shoot your bow. We love you. Boom.